listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeah, nigga, what makes you different than the next nigga? Seen you last week and you couldn't even speak. You try to play like Mr. All of That, but now you want to come to me with some chit chat? I don't have no time for no wham bam, thank you ma'am. Gas me up, get me drunk and hit the skins and scram. The same old shit you pulled last week on Pam. I'm not having that. No, I'm not having that. You gotta do a lot more and that's just how it be. I'm Mary Blige and you just ain't running up in me. I need a man who's looking out for some security. So come correct with some respect and then we will see. So if you with it, then drop the 7 digits and I might just give you a call. If you ain't with it, then don't waste your time at all. So what's the 411, hun? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Sunday.
Yes, we are.
That's right, Sunday morning, ready to do this. Well, Sunday afternoon, ready to do this thing. All kinds of stuff going on. We'll get into it because there's a lot, as evidenced by the news if you have it on. But yeah, first of all, of course, is the Black Guy Who Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Leave 5-star reviews. You guys did such a great job yesterday.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you. We are so happy that you guys left us 5-star reviews. If you're still out there and you haven't sent one in, leave us one. Come on, man. Get involved. And of course, also, you can go to theblackguywhotips.com. You can sign up for premium, theblackguywhotips.com/premium. You can become, a premium listener, a person that gets to hear all the stuff that we talk about behind the paywall. Okay. You can also do stuff like, vote in the polls at theblackguywhotips.com. You can donate to the show. It's right there on the right hand side of the page. You can also do great stuff like, leave comments and all kinds of stuff, man. Don't forget, you can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And also, we are sponsored. The good news is Shadow Dog Productions is sponsoring us and they have a new audio play album. But the bad news is there's a family friendly audio play album geared towards kids. The good news is the star of the album, Liliana Catchman, who is the star of on the show Dance Moms. But the bad news is a lot of motherfuckers hate that show. But the good news is that we still got a link. So you can check it out. It's on iTunes. It's called Short Stories with Liliana Catchman. And yeah, go leave it a 5-star review. Let them know that you love it and support it. And also, we're brought to you by Loot Crate. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, a monthly mystery crate filled with just all sorts of just cool nerd items. We open them up on the show sometimes. Your house will be filled with nerdness, okay? So just if you want to get a monthly gift to yourself or to a loved one, get it for your cousin, your niece, your brother, your daughter, your everybody. Get it for all the people in your life. And you can save some money by going to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and putting in code TBGWT and you'll get $3 off of any new subscription. So make sure you guys do that because you got to the 19th. So you got a few more days, the 19th by 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up or you end up losing out and you have to wait till the next month to get whatever that theme is. So if you want this month's box, which is, I'm sure, going to be lit, as they all are, lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. All right, news. Obviously, the biggest news is Charlottesville. So, apparently, in Charlottesville, there was a march for white supremacy, essentially, white nationalism. From my understanding, the march started because they were considering taking down Confederate monuments and then suddenly completely unrelated because, you know, it's about heritage, not hate, but suddenly a bunch of fucking Nazi KKK, sympathizing white nationalist motherfuckers decided to have a march in a place called Charlottesville, which none of y'all have ever heard of, which probably has no black people living there. They decided to do a march there, and obviously that's not related at all to that doesn't mean that being a Confederate sympathizer is related to racism at all. hopefully my lack of fingers isn't belying my implied air quotes around that. But yeah, so there was a march. Everybody kind of knew that it was gonna be some bullshit. I think there was a counter march where people wanted to show up and be like, we not with this bullshit, which is something that, you know, people do these days. I'm not knocking it or not. I don't know what, I'm not 100% sure what purposes the counter protest to a protest does, but it's a thing that people do, and I think it's human, and people are going to always do it, probably. But at any rate, it inevitably leads to clashes. There was violence. People were noticing there was a very glaring lack of police presence.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you look at protests that spring up when black people are killed by the police. When black people are killed by police, you look on the side and the motherfucking cops look like Resident Evil. Like,
yeah, it could be three of us and they'll be surrounded around us.
Right. I mean, that infamous picture of the woman being arrested and she's wearing a sundress and the cops are in basically full tactical gear to arrest her. That picture sprang up in contrast to angry white people with tiki torches, they call them tiki torches. I saw some thread about like the historically that's not right or whatever. I don't know the rules. That's what the item number on Lowe's says or whatever. What I do know is this: they had a bunch of fucking get rid of mosquito ass torches, but the imagery was implied. The imagery was definitely supposed to be hearkening back to like Klan rallies and mm-hmm. You know, things of this nature, the angry mob with the torches or whatever. So anyway, they do this march, and you know, it's I guess goes as expected. You know, I mean, what is I don't know what it like what is the expectation of a march like that? You know, it's just a place where they knew that they would get on TV, they would get a recruiting tool, you know, social media, take pictures. This is my what I imagine they wanted from this march, to show that they aren't alone. And they have an advocate in the White House now, and it's their turn. Much in the way that, and I doubt, I shouldn't say, you know, it'll take probably years before black people really recognize, or even well, it's not all obviously, but some black people, I think it'll take a long time for them to recognize that even some of like President Obama's most staunch defender, I mean like not just defenders but staunch critics that are black. Mm-hmm. And even some of the movements that sprang up around 2008, 2010, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It'll take a long time, but hopefully somebody does the work and the analysis and some of the psychological evaluations. Black people and black causes were emboldened by President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're gonna say that racism was emboldened, which it was, then we have to also, I think, be willing to admit that black causes were also emboldened by the idea of having an advocate in the White House. And maybe you didn't feel like he was as radical as you are, or radical as you would like him to be, but he gave you the idea that he could be pushed to at least listen to concerns from citizens who were making a noise. And I think it'll take a long time for a lot of black people to reconcile with that, but that was what that was. I'm convinced of it every day, and it's only been 8 months in this White House, and I'm convinced that that's what's happening with white nationalists. I think it's ridiculous to say that we know that Trump emboldens white nationalism, but to feel like the presence of a black family in the White House didn't embolden pro-blackness, you know? And like I said, this doesn't mean that you turned in and said, because I love Obama so much. I mean, honestly, there were people that were like, I'm going to ask for shit that we never asked for before, or that we know we would have no chance of getting, but I'm going to ask of it, of this black president, because it's the only chance that I feel like I'm ever going to get in life. I feel like we're pushing towards these goals, and here's my chance. That's what the desperation of these white, racist, nationalist marches, that's what this shit feels like. they know that his agenda is bigoted, and this is their only chance to push their bigotry on America in mass with no counter given from the White House. And honestly, a president can only do so much, obviously, but when you're hiring people who have an even more bigoted agenda than the one you ran on, that's an administrative thing. When your party is full of cowards who will go along with whatever's at the top and whoever is the angriest voter, that's a scary thing, because you can get a lot of these initiatives passed. And we talk about it every day on the show. There's always some shit that's getting passed now every couple of days where it's like, well, that's extremely bigoted and fucked up. It may not be passed, but it's getting proposed. It'll have legal challenges, but just the fact that a president or an administration would even think to propose these things says a lot. You know, the messaging is there. They're stoking the fires of this bigotry, and this is the cost of that. So that's what I feel like is coming off of this Charlottesville shit. Like, while we're seeing marches, while we're seeing more hate crimes, while we're seeing more organizing, while we're seeing, like, they're getting a signal boost and a level of advocacy from the White House that they haven't gotten probably since the 60s, you know, where you literally just have every week is, we don't like gay people, we don't like Muslims, we don't like blacks, we don't like trans people, we don't like women, every day. And I have a lot of thoughts on this shit, so Karen, just hop in when you feel like, because I do have a lot more to say. But yeah, it's like, so that's part of this shit, right? I think this doesn't mean that it's equal and opposite. Obviously, being pro-black is not the same as white nationalism. Mm-hmm. But the point being, the emboldened feeling of like, now's the time to strike, now's the time to get our shit done, now's time to make the points that we want to make, let's be radical. This is what white people have been wanting to do since Obama got elected. They've been wanting to do it longer than that, but something about Obama being elected charged up the racism in this country in a way that we haven't really seen for a while. Mm-mm. You know, when you see people like, because like I said, I know black people who are like, fuck that coon, blah blah, Uncle Tom, Obama, I don't fuck with him on any level, da 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 da. I know black people like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they think he's that mild, they think he's that much of an agent of the system, that much of a piece of shit. Yet there were white people at the same time that thought he was the most radical Muslim tyrant dictator to ever touch the White House. And they were disgusted by him and his family, and they were disgusted by the idea that they called him the divider in chief, right? They said he's the one who made Black Lives Matter do all this shit. Meanwhile, a lot of people in Black Lives Matter don't even fuck with him. They didn't even care. Like, they were like, as far as we're concerned, this dude is the cause of the racial animus in America, because white people could never look in the mirror at themselves and say, we are simply racist and we are not trying to be better about it. So this has been building in them while they've been watching these marches, while they've been calling everybody Black Lives Matter that is black and has an opinion on race, and then going they're terrorist and saying they've been blaming black people for killing cops. They've been, you know, they've been doing everything except reckoning with the role that they have consistently historically played in society and to get us to this point. So I look at all that and that's what I see in those angry white male faces that were out there in Charlottesville. You know, I looked at those pictures, I looked at the videos and shit. This is before the fighting. This is on Friday night when they're just out there with torches and taking pictures and shit. I look at that and I think Donald Trump is racist people's Obama.
Right.
You know, like that's the thing I've been saying from way before he even fucking got nominated. It was his bigotry is his appeal. Everyone keeps putting these like 200 days in White House report and the poll numbers and his likability factor, and I'm like, none of his voters have any remorse or regret. Mm-mm. Because they and I'm so sick of these pieces that cover his voters and interview them. they don't have real regret because they did, they're lying to your face when they tell you, I voted this way because I work coal. I voted this way because I lost my job. I voted this way because I thought he was gonna, no, they voted this way for his bigotry. And that is one thing he has never wavered on. And he never will, because he is a bigot. His the people that support him in his administration, he selected bigots. He's not good at even running the government. Many jobs have not even been fucking filled. Mm-mm. You know, there's like is the ineptitude. He doesn't know what he's doing. He tweets decrees as if he's a fucking king, and then people go, "We're not doing that shit because it's a fucking tweet. That's not legal. You can't just make me fucking change the way I've been operating my life because you tweeted something." This is the man that they put in charge because of his bigotry. He's not in charge because they think he's a good businessman that can run the government. Mm-mm. He's in charge because they think he's a good bigot, and he'll never waver on that. You know, those tweets are why he's in charge. You know, that's what people selected, and they're not ashamed of that. The same way that I feel like black people used to be a little bit apprehensive and scared to talk about certain black shit in culture, you know, but it kind of went a little more mainstream. We started having more discussions about race on CNN and MSNBC and even Fox. I mean, they just start talking about race once Obama got elected. Those stories used to just not be covered. You know, not saying that that was better. I don't think it was, but it used to just not be covered. But now it's like, well, we can debate about these things now, right? We got a black president. We got to talk about race. He said Trayvon Martin. Now we can cover Trayvon Martin 24/7. Used to be a time black kid gets shot, and it's like it never happened if you didn't, unless you knew somebody that was affected by it, but it wasn't on the news. It wasn't covered. They never stopped and live covered something during the weekend. These marches and shit they cover now, they didn't used to cover that shit. Anyway, all that to be like, to white people, they thought the whole time, wait till it's our turn, and now it's their turn. And that's what that fucking march is. Now, the police presence thing, this has been a big thing. People are like, there's not enough police out there. When it's black people, they got full riot gear. They got fucking those utility vehicles that look like tanks. They got rifles and they're pointing snipers. Them at protesters. They got snipers. They have dogs. They come out with batons and shields and face mask and tactical gear and all this shit. The SWAT teams out there, they call it the National Guard. Why aren't they there for these white people? That's a very interesting point that people are making, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but it's levels to this, right? Mm-hmm. Is bigger than just whether or not the police felt that they need to get those people out there. You know why those people are there in St. Louis, why they're there in Ferguson? You know why they're there in Baltimore? Because they already have that shit there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's up the street and around the corner.
Because they militarized those zones because black people live there. And they over-police the black people in the black community so that they can basically make them fodder for jails, the legal system, prison. They can fine you, they can make you pay bails, they can lock you up, and then they privatize that money from the government often. You know, they justify cops' salaries, they ticket you for jaywalking, you can't afford that, now you got a warrant, now you're in jail, now you can't afford bail, now your ass is in jail every day getting three hots in a cot. But they basically just have you in there overcrowded making money off of you, because then they bill the government for having you in jail. And that's how they make money. That's why the cops are already there. Because cops been fucking with those communities for a long time. Cops are not going to be there in fucking Charlottesville,
Virginia,
because ain't no niggas there.
Right.
And that's the reason the rally's there. The rally's there because there's not any black people. They wouldn't do that rally in Detroit. They're going to do that rally in fucking St. Louis. They're not going to do that rally there. They're going to do that rally where they're like, okay, where can we go where there's no black people? Because we don't need fucking, you know, Ixnay on the motherfucking airplane. You know, like that shit. So while I understood people's point, it was even deeper than just, oh, the cops didn't feel the need to come. They probably don't even have a fucking police force capable of doing what Ferguson did. Mm-mm. Not in that town. Because it never crossed their mind that they would need to, because it's white people there. You know, the same reason that we look at fucking, oh, they burning couches in Virginia. Yeah, they don't have, when Virginia wins a game and motherfucking they ride and flip over cars and burn couches,
come on,
they don't even have a police force there capable of coming down on them the way they do in places where they know that there's gonna be some black people acting up.
Mm-hmm. That's why they just let them walk down the street and burn shit up.
Right. They just let them, it's like, what are we gonna do? It's not enough of us. But let that shit have happened in any black city, and all of a sudden it's time to get the water hoses, the dogs, the fucking gas canisters, all that shit comes out. So that was a thing, a point I saw people making. I just thought I'd elaborate on it here rather than, because too many people want to fight about shit online and come up with the neatest different angle that everybody.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not interested in, I'm not really interested in any of that.
Theses, no, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. And they're entitled to your opinion. I just didn't feel like arguing about it.
Right.
So that was another thing with the police presence. The thing is, the police that were there still stood back and didn't do shit. They let those people fight. They, you know, they didn't get involved. And I feel like they're complicit in the violence that occurred there.
Yes, they are.
You know, I don't think you can, I don't think you can go over that, you know? Yeah, I looked up race and ethnicity in Charlottesville, Virginia. 66% white, 5% Hispanic, 20% black, 7% Asian. See, in Ferguson, it's 80% black. Hence why they didn't have to go get the National Guard right away to go find tanks and fucking military equipment. They got it already. They're can't wait to use it on some niggas. Can't wait. So that was a big part of it. Then the other thing that was kind of making sure I'm setting up all the basics, because I'm trying to think. David Duke gave props to the president, Trump. You know, why is that? You know, why is that? What is, if President Trump's not racist, why the fuck is David Duke, a devout racist, shouting him out? You know, I mean, we've talked about what white nationalism really means on this show before, but it's, I mean, for lack of better terms, just white supremacy couched in a bunch of the same social justice warrior rhetoric they claim to hate. They just use it to then espouse racism, you know. So anyway, man, we're sitting there watching this shit, you know, and I'm seeing it on my timeline on Twitter mostly because I don't watch the news anymore. I see that a car drives into a group of people, and quite purposefully. Like, it wasn't, you know, look, this old man got lost and had dementia. Like, drives into him going with the foot on the gas as fast as it can. And one woman died. You know, a bunch of people got injured. It was obviously caught on video because everybody's got their phones out these days. So this wasn't a crime about getting away with it. The car reverses out. The guy runs out of the car. Abandons the car. Who knows when he got caught? The license plate was right there on the car. Well, you know, it just didn't seem like it was very hard to find him. Mm-hmm. In a march where you have white supremacists and you had this counter march out there, people putting themselves in danger and stuff, which is their want, you know. I really think there's a lot of, I've been saying this about a lot of people for a long time when it comes to that Black Lives Matter and people marching for the movement for Black Lives and stuff. And I was like, when people get on them, like, why y'all not marching as much no more? Where y'all at? I'm like, it was easier to march with an advocate in the White House.
Yes.
Even if they don't want to admit it. And this kind of violence right here will not be condemned truly.
Mm-mm.
From the White House.
Mm-mm.
It won't be. That, you know, that, like, they will give lip service, but you know for a fact they don't give a fuck. This is exactly what they talk about. When the president is telling police to rough up suspects and shit. This is what he's talking about. He didn't care about that. This is a man that sat at his own rallies and advocated for violence against protesters,
mm-hmm.
for being black and saying, I don't like you. He was like, hit them, I'll pay your fucking fees, all this shit. So you can't expect this to be the same environment that people protested in. One that wasn't perfect already. One where police constantly overstepped bounds, treated black protesters differently than white, all this shit. That already was a fucked up situation with an advocate in the White House, with an advocate in the Justice Department, with people having to pay costs, police departments being brought up on charges, police departments being investigated and fined and sanctioned and all this shit, and like oversight. They hated that shit. They fucking hated that administration because of that. And now you have people like Jeff Sessions being like, yep, I'm a raging racist. Coretta Scott King tried to tell y'all, but y'all don't give a fuck. She's a black woman. And he's out here being like, we need to take some of the restrictions off these police. They not able to do their job no more. What is the job then? So yeah, it's gonna get worse before it gets better with a lot of this protesting shit, because like that was an environment where police even had to think on some broad level about, well, fuck, what are we gonna do if the Justice Department comes down on us? We might lose some jobs, we might lose some money, they might bring us up on charges, we have to think about that. They don't gotta think about that no more. They don't have to think about that anymore. At any rate, so when I hear people say shit like, why are they not out there marching? Shit like this. You know? Like, shit like this is probably why people had to stop marching, because now you've had a society that has had violence advocated from the White House to say, fuck Black Lives Matter, this terrorist organization, and these niggers out here in these streets. Like, now you have a bunch of people that are white supremacists that are charged up and being told essentially to attack, and we will protect you because we agree with it. That's what they've been told. I remember there was a shooting in like a Minnesota Black Lives Matter rally. I think it was Minnesota, forgive me if I'm wrong, but they end up shooting a bunch, like somebody shot into a crowd of people and shit, and they found those people, and you know, they're going to jail and all that stuff. But like, I remember even thinking then, like, this is those people feeling charged up. Like, they're like, oh yeah, look, Trump, they listening to Trump. He's telling us be violent. He's telling us, you know, this is what these people deserve. They just need a knock on the head and all this type of shit. They're charged up now, dog. You know? So to me, this is, the chickens coming home to roost, as they say. I'm not surprised by any of it. So yeah, this guy, he's plowed a car into 26 counter protesters at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville on Saturday. Like I said, man, I don't know what these counter protests are necessarily supposed to do. Maybe give people a chance to fight, but this wasn't the only violence that occurred. The car attack took the headline, but other people were getting beaten shit before this. And I don't know. With the police not doing their jobs, I don't know what you're supposed to do, because you're literally putting your life in danger to go out there, and more power to you. But I would hate to see anybody lose a life over these racist pieces of shit that aren't ever going to listen to you, in an administration that's never going to bend. But maybe people feel like it's kind of like the 60s strategy, where you go out and you get fucked up, and then it gets coverage on the news, and maybe people will feel some type of something about it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not here to tell people that won't work, even if I don't think it'll work. Maybe it will, and I just don't know.
The country has changed. I think it would work on some people, but overall, the country has changed. When you have a president that doesn't have any humility, when you have a president that doesn't have any shame, you know, because back then, you know, it was a shame to it. All of a sudden, the things that was happening were brought out to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world began to judge. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh shit, we're being judged by the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That shame is not there. So when that shame is not there, it doesn't matter. Like, we've had a history over the past few years of black people dying and black death, you know, almost like it's gotten to the point for a lot of people, and even some black people, is desensitized them to, you know, you show me the video ain't gonna make a difference, because our country is so polarized now that people have already made up their minds before they even see the video what the end result of the video is. Even if they watch it, even if they don't, they made up their mind. And I was also seeing some activists on social media telling black people that lived in the area that were activists, don't you take your ass out there. You let these white allies go out there and march on our behalf. That's the fuck they're there for. Ain't nothing but white people out there. You let them go talk to their people. Don't go out there and put yourself on the line like that, because it makes no sense for this situation.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from, like, it was like Women's March or something, and it was like, this is why we should listen to and be led by women of color because of stuff like this. And a whole lot of women on my timeline, black women, was like, the fuck, from the back? Like, we're not going out there to risk our lives for some shit we didn't cause. And these people out here are your sons and your husbands and your brothers and shit. Like, y'all need to clean this shit up.
This is your problem.
They leaving the house and y'all letting this happen. So you're right. I think during the 60s, you know, TV and had made the world smaller, and it was just coming at a point in time where you know, the movement at the time had realized you could harness the power of the idea of a video going before the internet but viral, like a video that will be shown to our allies and embarrass us and make us feel ashamed, quote unquote, and by us I mean white people, because come on, but make people feel ashamed of America. Like, this is a place where a black kid can't go to school, you know. So that was a point, you know. A couple other things I have, like I said, I have a lot to say. The faces in those pictures, when I saw those people with those tiki torches, it made me think about the smiling faces I've seen under lynching pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Children, men and women, you know, a black body hanging from a tree or something in the background, and them taking, keep in mind, this is, some of this shit is old.
Right.
So taking the time to stand still, hold a smile, while a photo, while the fucking, like, whatever that process with the phosphorus or whatever,
you know,
the fuck.
Years ago, it took a while, so, right, you know.
While that happened, to sit there and let that picture be taken, smiling, not covering their faces. Like, everyone's so worried about the Klan and the Nazis, and they're calling people that, and those people were out there. This is not belittling that. But there's a lot of white people that didn't cover up their face. There's a lot of white people that didn't feel any shame, the same way they didn't feel shame when they lynched bodies back then. And that unabashed, like, glorification of this violence, of this maintaining white supremacy, of this you know, this willful hatred of us, is why you can't call racism ignorance, because it's willful hatred. It's not ignorance. These aren't people that don't know better. The world is smaller than ever with the internet. They can learn if they want to learn. They don't want to learn. So this isn't like, oh man, these white people just need to learn more, need to get out and meet some people. No, these are evil people. And I look at those faces, and it made me think about how not ashamed those people were when they had those lynchings. It made me think about how not ashamed, and we're in 2017 now. You know, some of those pictures are 100 years old, 1917, and it made me think, what happened to those people? Because see, if you catch a person that was working for the Germans during World War II, and he was a soldier, and he worked at a concentration camp, and he's 97 years old right now, and he's living in Boston in relative obscurity, and he's changed his name, and we find out who he is, you know what happens to that dude? They go to jail. They find them, and they put their ass in jail. It don't matter if you got 6 seconds left to live. If they find your ass, it's on and popping today. Don't matter what you did since then. Don't matter how you contributed to society. Don't matter that I was forced. It was a different time. Nigga, your ass go to jail. Fuck you. I don't care if you was the dude that just was a janitor. You going to jail. That's what it is. That's the rule. You know, it still goes on to this day. If you were involved in the Holocaust, they will find you in fucking Brazil and be like, the fuck? Nigga, you going to jail. That's how it happens. None of the people that were complicit in the subjugation and violence of black people in America, none of them go to jail. So what happens to them? Like, that's what I look at those pictures. What happened to those people? And I don't mean like what happened. Like, what, where does your life take you? What is your trajectory after that? A person that has witnessed black bodies swinging, that has laughed, that is gleefully eaten underneath the feet of someone dying, who has made jokes about it, who has been taught that that is right, those children in those pictures, where are they now? Because all of them aren't dead. Mm-mm. Because I know, because some of those people whose family were lynched, they alive.
Come on.
Some of the people that first were involved in desegregation, you look at them and they still look, they 50, they 60. They not dead. They alive. So if the victims are alive, the abusers are alive. Mm-hmm. So when I think about those people under those fucking trees, I also think about, what did they go on to do with their lives? Well, you know what they did with their lives. They married. They had children. They went to college, some of them. They worked someplace. They own businesses. They're managers. They're lawyers.
Governors.
They're governors.
Senators.
Right.
Congressmen.
Right.
Mayors.
Some of them might be president.
Come on.
Some of them might be president. So that's what I think of when I think about those pictures, because they're all nameless. Like, I've never seen a picture of the lynching and go, and this guy's name is this and this guy was that. That's somebody's grandpa. So when you think about white people and they say stuff like, it's heritage, not hate, or, you know, my grandfather, you know, my great great grandfather fought in the Confederate War, but, you know, he wasn't a racist, or my grandfather was a good slave owner. We didn't own no slaves. Maybe you didn't own slaves. Did you attend a lynching? Did you hang under a black body and smile and eat hot dogs and shit? Like, what did you do? And the people that you covet, that you love, because you can't possibly understand that grandpa's evil, and even though he's racist, he's your grandpa, you don't understand that my abject hatred of that man. I don't give a fuck if he's your grandpa or not. Fuck him. And it's always gonna be like that. You know, like, I don't have any room in my life for that shit. You know, for a lot of white folks, they'll never really be able to make that connection. And I think that's a huge part of this. But the reason I say it's a huge part of this is because in 2017, those are those people's great-great-grandsons. That's what that is. So when I look at those pictures together, I just see white people that didn't learn shit. They're not ashamed. No, I see white people that weren't punished for their complicitness and their accessory to these murders. They're cheering on their laughter, I see those people in these old pictures, and what I see in 2017 is the result of those people never truly being punished, of us never really solidifying that the wrongness of that in America. We've never done it. Everything has always been, and it, look, it's the human condition. I'm not saying it would have just been easy, but everything has always been these steps, right? But these steps always have one thing in mind. We can't hurt white people too much, because anything that hurts white people too much is bad. You know, the fact that after the Civil War, when you had this period of Reconstruction and black people are actually gaining new footholds, curating communities, businesses, like literally taking a hold of this American life for the first time, where, and obviously still dealing with racism, still dealing with violence, but you had a North that was coming down on the Confederacy or ex-Confederacy at that point and being like, no, fuck that shit, burn your shit down, fuck, we told you these rules, you don't deserve. And within 10 years white people in the North were already sympathetic again to the traitors in the South and immediately were like, okay, y'all can be racist again, my bad. Like, we had a chance in America, but we never really gave it a chance, because then you got Jim Crow, you got segregation, like it all came right back. So this is the result of these half measures, you know, and this is the country that we are. We'll never be a country where we have full measures dealing with racism. That's impossible. It'll never happen. But anyway, all that shit to say, man, when I look at these pictures right now, I'm just thinking of that. I'm like, yeah, these are those people's kids. They not ashamed. They never stopped talking about it. They never stopped teaching it. We never said it was wrong, really. We said it, we got to a point where it was like, it's wrong to call me racist. You know, I want to say it's in its last throes to some extent, but I'm never going to say that because people been saying that forever. Oh, these white people, they just fighting hard because it's the last time. Y'all been saying that since the fucking, since forever.
It won't end in my lifetime.
It'll never be the last. It'll never be the last. As long as they're allowed to keep teaching this shit, as long as we're debating stuff like teaching black history in school, white people will never have to feel bad, so they'll never change. Somebody gotta feel bad at some point, and I'm sick of it being us. So that's one of the things I was thinking. Another thing I thought about when I was looking at that picture, it was all men, all white men. I saw one video of one white woman calling somebody a nigger, one, and she was all the way in the back. It was all white men. Not just because they wanted to take that picture, and I think they want to send a message. I mean, they are, those, white supremacy is really white male supremacy. And it always will be. White women are there to be protected, but they're not really there to be, they're not there to be in leadership positions or vocal, right? Maybe they'll make one a mascot somehow, but they won't truly, you don't get to determine where that movement goes,
right?
Because and you have to bow down to that. If you're going to be in white supremacy, you bow down to the fact that it's white male supremacy, right?
Correct.
But there's a trade-off there, because white women will be coveted and protected by these white men for the most part, and they like that shit. A lot of white women like that shit. When you see a white celebrity rebelling a woman, it's always some shit like, don't look at my titties or something, you know, like, and I'm funny too or whatever. Like, it's always some, and I'm not trying to belittle their rebellion, but it's always this rebellion of like, I'm more than just a sex symbol to be protected. And it's like, cool, that if that's your fight, that's your fight. But a lot of women's fights are stuff like, I want to live, stop killing my kids and me. I would like equal pay I'm on the lowest on the rung on that. Like, the fight is just different. I want representation. I like to be in a movie. I'd like to be the star of a movie. Hell, I'd like to be objectified for once, because that I can make that work for me compared to y'all calling me ugly and shit like that. It's a completely different fight. But the point being, a lot of white women will absolutely sell out for white male leadership because they have a role, they have a place in it, you know, going all the way back to like slavery and the planter household, where yes, white women are being abused by white men. Obviously it's fucked up. They have no agency within, when it comes to white men, maleness, like in courts and stuff, they, like, a lot of times you could get divorced and just fucking left desolate with your children because a white man was like, fuck it, I'm moving on, and I'm the only one got rights. You know, you can't vote, I can vote, shit like that, right? But in that same hierarchy, that same pecking order, they were still able to be above black men, above black women, still able to be abusive to black men and women, be abusive to their children. Like, they can serve a dual role of being a victim and an abuser in the same system,
right?
That ain't changed. That ain't changed. So when I see all those dudes out there, I keep thinking about that fucking 53%. And I think about the silent support that these white men must get. If we are able to say that there's never been a black movement for whatever, or a movement for marginalized people that has been positive, we've never been able to see one without what? Black women, without women of color, as either the backbone, the leadership, or the voice. We've never seen it. Doesn't matter who you name, who got the credit, end of the day, the people that fucking organize and put in the time and the work are black women, right? Mm-hmm. Women of color and all these movements. We say this all the time. There can't be a white power structure and a white power movement without white women's implicit support. Now, maybe they're not coming out here getting all in the videos, but they motherfucking there, dog. Whether it's them preparing lunches, whether it's them booking flights, whether it's them raising the kids so you can go out and take these, do this shit, whether it's them, you know, silently. Because, see, that's the thing about that voting booth. The voting booth is anonymous. You know, polls, those at the end, we know who did what, but the voting booth is anonymous. If you truly are one of these white people, like, listen, I'm just going along with this white supremacy shit to survive, but look, I'm on y'all side. I'm pro-choice. You know, I think we should make the same wages as men. You know, I'm anti this hatred and this bigotry, but I have to do what I have to do because I'm married to, or I live in the vicinity of these white men. I say what I have to say, but in a voting booth, I got my one chance to do what I want to do. They can't make me do what, they can't make me do anything in this booth. They pick Trump. We're, you know, I'm not going to let them off the hook as, well, these white men are abusive. Men are abusive in general. That doesn't mean they control your fucking vote. That also doesn't mean that everybody that's in a situation tied to a man is being abused. And it also doesn't mean that those people don't get to decide what they, that those people don't get to be complicit. If you're complicit and a willful agitator and a willful contributor to this shit, then that's on you too. What, I'm supposed to feel bad because you're a woman? I don't give a fuck. That has nothing to do with this. Honestly, if you're complicit, you're complicit. You know, I look at Fox News, half the motherfucking people on there are women. Women getting sexually harassed by the racist men that they're holding up. And then they're also espousing the same racism. But I'm supposed to feel bad because you got sexually harassed, dog? What are the rules on that? You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be sexually harassed at work. Well, back to work being a racist. Good job. Fuck that shit. You know, I saw a little bit of that out there. I'm like, nah, no. Those people are complicit as well. Not to mention many of them believe in that shit, even to their detriment. We've been saying this shit since the election. Many people believe in this shit to their detriment. White supremacy hurts white people as well. They believe in it still. Don't matter. Can't convince them not. You know, a lot of bad shit happens because it's tied into, like, Christianity, nationalism, patriarchy. It's tied into all these different elements that are these moving, all these moving targets, but they all hurt the people that believe in it, and they all believe in it. What are you supposed to do with that? You know, yeah, I make less than my man, but you know what? I deserve to make less than my man because he's a good man and a good white Christian man. He need to go out here and make as much money as he can. And you know, if I got to stay home because I need to be barefoot in the kitchen making babies, that's what I'll do because I'm be happy to support my man that way. And if you feel that way, you feel that way. I also feel bad for you feeling that way. No, I got to worry about my shit. You know, like at some point I got to look at what you're doing to hurt people as well. You are complicit. So that 53% is complicit. You know, people, there's a lot of people that, and I say 53%, I'm not actually talking about the 53% of white women that went out and voted for Trump. It's really just shorthand for white women that empower white supremacy.
Right.
You know, I want to be clear about this because some things got conflated on social media, and I didn't even participate in that discussion, but I want to be clear about how I feel and what I said. These white women are definitely supporting and being the backbone to these white supremacists. And don't let them fool you just because they not out here talking about it. Because see, they know that white maleness protects those dudes in public. And it don't protect them. They can still get it. From whether it's from their own people, whether it's from people that attractors, like women pay a cost for shit that men don't. It is, it's what happens. Man rude on social media, he's just a dick, whatever, we move on. Woman rude on social media, it's an unforgivable sin, how dare she. There's always these double standards for women doing shit. These women don't want to be vocal and out there like Justine Sacco losing jobs and shit. They don't want to be like that. They can't be protected. The other thing is, a lot of them, since they aren't showing their faces, much like the, because Trump won almost every demographic of any type of white person, they're not showing their faces, right? It's not like every type, when we think of Trump voters and the people that support him, everybody has these pictures of these people that show up at his rallies in these fucking trucker hats.
Co-workers.
Right, the tattooed Aryan dudes that look obviously like Aryan skinhead people. Those aren't the only people that voted for him. They're not enough of those people.
Mm-mm.
You know, we saw the inauguration. It was fucking empty out there.
Correct.
Why was it empty? Because there are people that vote for him, that support him, that don't come they ass out there. So when you see the dumbass people who are stupid enough or unabashed enough to come out and just be like, look, I ain't putting on no mask. I got the Hitler Youth haircut and I'm fucking saying, fuck, we need white power and all this shit. You see those people and you go, wow, this is scary. Look at these guys, these tiki torches, or look how stupid they look, or look how it's so few of them. They're not representative of the entire mass. There's a huge fuck. They're the tip of the iceberg for a lot of this shit. And so a lot of people are going to work with one of these people that support these people. Mm-hmm. Like you, they might not have been dumb enough to go out there, but your coworker is probably fucking with them.
Right. And not to cut you off, this mm-hmm. is why I assume that all my white coworkers voted for Trump. Nobody is an exception to the rule in my book. I'm just keep it plain and simple. In my book, nobody is an exception to that motherfucking rule. I don't care how cool you is with me, how much you quote unquote talk slang with me, how much you tell me I'm cool with you. No, motherfucker. The poll showed that even if you didn't, your family, your friends, somebody associated with you did. And this is another reason why I ain't give a goddamn about your fucking pink pussy hat march, bitches.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, a lot of these people, especially when it comes to white women, they're going to work in industries that affect black children. School teachers, daycare people. Like, while we're going, well, it's sad that they're a victim of this patriarchy and they're just trying to survive in the white man's world too, we're also just simply eschewing the fact that they're putting our kids in the prison, school to prison pipeline faster than anybody else. That they're disciplining, quote unquote, these children, our children, and vilifying black girls' hair and shit of this nature. We're sitting up there giving cover for that. And whether there's some nuance in that area or not, ultimately, that is what it seems. When people start pulling up, well, the white women is kind of fucked up for them too. Yeah, but it ain't as fucked up. And that case is one of those cases that gets to be made for people to feel absolution, to feel like they're not complicit in this, like they're not responsible. Hey, all I do was just let them support Trump. I thought he was just supporting Trump going to a march. We let them do that. And then we look at them like, poor you. You had no idea. You fucking knew. You knew. So I think that's a huge thing to say because, you know, like I said, I saw people kind of going on that tangent and no, not for me. Like maybe for other people, but I definitely don't agree with that. Anyway, so you end up with a dude running his car into a bunch of people, killing one woman. And it was a white woman who got killed. So, you know, that's about to become, the story, the face of this tragedy. You know, of course, people want politicians, especially on the right, to call it terrorism.
That ain't
which
happening.
You know, they would never call. They didn't even want to call Dylann Roof terrorist.
Come on,
Dylann Roof. They said we don't know what his motivations could be. You know, like if it wasn't for the administration at the time being like, yes, that nigga's a terrorist. Who knows? Who knows? I legitimately would not expect a Republican president to call that shit terrorism. It just happened that Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama, you had a bunch of black people in charge that were like, yes, that shit's terrorism. The end. Joe Biden, who gives a fuck, being like, yes, that's terrorism. You know, at the time, Hillary Clinton and Bernie were running for the nomination. So it's terrorism. We need these black votes. These Republicans have no loyalty, deference given to the black community. So, no, it's not going to be terrorism. You know, I think Trump released a tweet where he talked about, that we got to stop the hatred coming from many sides. Many sides, y'all. Because that's who's driving cars into people. Black Lives Matter. You know how they just drive cars into people with the hatred? You know, the rally of anti-racism is somehow hatred and equal and opposite to white supremacy marching. It's the same. Both sides gotta have a point, right? So, this dude, they got him in custody, the guy who did this shit. I don't remember his name. Whatever. They got him in custody. At first they were saying, the police were like, yeah, he was saying he was just scared. It wasn't on purpose. Mm-mm. Then pictures came out and this motherfucker's like on the side of, he's on the march. He's literally in the protest with the white supremacists, like behind the shields and yelling at people and shit. You know, so that story had to go out the window. I mean, and if you saw the video, which I'm not going to play, obviously, but if you saw the video, it was obvious. It was like, no, a person did that on purpose. It's impossible for that to be an accident. You know, his mom, they already interviewed him, you know, part of the humanizer process, but also.
You mean her?
Her. Yeah. I'm sorry. Interviewed her, his mom. She brought up that he had an African-American friend.
I don't care. I zero fucks to be given about your African-American friend.
She said she thought the rally was just to go to see support Trump, and she told him to be careful. Why are we having rallies to support Trump anyway? You won the office.
I don't understand that.
What's going on here? You know, like, why is that still a thing? If you want, this isn't a pep rally, get the governing. You're taking fucking long ass vacations to play golf and shit, and you're like, where is the governing that was promised? You know, it's just weird that you're still going around the nation doing pep rallies. It's almost as if you're more worried about the celebrity of being president and not the office.
I 100% agree, and I think this quote unquote, this we're going out to support Trump, I think as they see, which I don't, who put it like this, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen about it, but they keep hearing about people wanting to impeach him, you know, and all this stuff coming up. So they feel like they need to support him. They need to let him know that they're there for him, you know, doing these things, you know, because a lot of these people have a blind loyalty to Trump, because the blind loyalty is, I will follow you as long as you are racist. It don't matter who you hurt. You could even hurt me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as brown people are affected by your policies. And I really think that a lot of this quote unquote support is to come out and let the president know that we hear the news, we see them talking about getting you out of office, but we quote unquote still support. So I really do think that's what a lot of this drumming up is, in my opinion. You know, because I think they feel like they doing all this investigation, you know, people turning against him, you know, people actually trying to get him out of office, and they see all the craziness happening to him, people, you know, that was for him now against him, and they weren't able to get the health care passed. So I really do think that they're seeing all this stuff, and this is their form of kind of throwing a light in the air to be like, hey, we ain't forgot about you, we still here for you.
Yeah, it's, but he's organizing these rallies too though, is what I'm saying.
Correct.
He goes out and speaks to these people, he's doing it, he's complicit in it. I'm just saying,
right,
why the fuck are you still having rallies? It's like after Obama won, if he would have just toured the country doing rallies, they would be like, this motherfucker is the laziest president ever, he won't get to work, but you know why. Anyway, the Mooch came out and criticized President Trump's lackluster response to Charlottesville violence. It says Bannon's toleration for white nationalists is inexcusable. Dog, yeah, you have no credibility. If you were working there, we know you'd say the opposite. Fuck right. You. Mika Brzezinski tweeted out some shit about Donald pandering to neo-Nazis and that he fucked up by tweeting out the violence is on many sides. Fuck you too, nigga. Fuck you too, Mika. It was cool till he started talking about your face bleeding. That's y'all band. Y'all probably still had dinner with this dude. I'm not fooled by any of this shit.
Right.
Fuck you. You are part of the problem. This is that 53% shit. Right? Now that it's vocally ugly and bad in public, all of a sudden you got people coming out like, oh, not me. I'm not okay with this. Yes, you are. You okay with throwing the alley-oop, but you mad when somebody dunk it home? Nigga, you part of it. That's your assist. A lot of people got assist on this shit. A lot of people, dog. You know, and on the right, there's literally zero excuse. On the left, there's people that advocated for this shit happening too, that are complicit. The whole like, we can stand 4 years of Trump. We just gotta let it. Can we though? Cause it's getting real quiet out here.
Come on.
It's getting real fucking quiet. It sound kind of stupid right now. But yeah, man, it's interesting to see this shit happen though. Like, everybody want to parse some bullshit now, man, but wasn't all this parsing going on? You know, not to mention when the fucking violence started, the police didn't even do shit. So this is before you got to a car, somebody driving a car into people. Y'all through the alley-oop by watching them getting fights and scraps and didn't come in and help nobody. You know, wait till the fight is over and then come in and pepper spray a couple of people and be like, did our job. You know, it was just, they tried to send them home and then that, you know, they declared a state of emergency. It's a shit show over there, man. I don't know if anything's still going on over there now. I think they called in the National Guard after all this shit happened, but you know, that woman's life is on a lot of people's hands. You know? So, I think that's all the things for that I have written down. But yeah, we're on the precipice of, we have reached the precipice of morality. We are literally standing on the edge, and I just do not see people I don't see people being activated the way that everybody said that the shit was gonna happen. Mm-mm. I don't see it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe I just can't see it and I just don't know, but I don't see the things that everybody claimed were gonna happen to make the America change and be better and everybody's gonna fight back. I still see motherfuckers just tweeting and being angry, and by motherfuckers I'm not talking about just normal people, but I'm saying like the leaders that people said were going to take advantage of this, like Jill Stein and the Green Party, like Bernie Sanders, all the people that people swore were going to take this shit and be like, look, I'm going to make a grassroots campaign to all the people that are bitter at Trump and disaffected and ready to fight back, and they ain't got no fight in them.
No, they don't. And it's one of the things where, you know, I just say 2020 is hindsight, and so yeah, what people fail to realize, people remember. So people remember a lot of people publicly coming out and were saying that Trump is what we needed. Trump is what we need to change this country, you know, and they were adamant about not voting for Hillary Clinton. And it's one of those things where people remember. And it was all across. I mean, a lot of people did this. So people remember. So it's one of the things where you go, oh, so this is what you said you wanted, right? And now since you got that, now you're crying and you're sad. But it was like, you got what you wanted. But it ain't really what you wanted. Because the reality is, you didn't think she was going to lose. Let's keep that real. Mm-hmm. Because if you really thought that it was any way for her to lose, you would have never did this. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people thought they just knew it was a shoe-in, so that once Hillary Clinton won, they could just come out and party and just be like, y'all niggas just following da-da-da-da-da, or whatever it is they were going to do, you know. And I think, too, in my opinion, with Trump getting put in office, a lot of people lost jobs, because a lot of people that talked about race and racism, all of a sudden those jobs are not needed anymore, because white supremacy has taken its course, and white supremacy said, well, we don't need to talk about that nigga shit no more. Why we need you here to talk about Black Lives Matter? We don't care no more. Why we need you to come in here and talk about another dead body? Why we need for you here anymore? And so, and a lot of these people, they don't even talk about shit no more. They act like they never said it. They act like it don't motherfucking exist. But I remember, and I know a lot of other people remember this shit too.
Yeah, they tuck their tails and run, and they don't want to talk about how they were complicit in it. And that's right. Fine. You know, that's fine. Everybody just got their one vote. They're responsible for how they use it. You advocate whatever the fuck you want, but end of the day, it's telling how quiet people are about how they didn't, because you know why? Because at the end of everything, despite how people try to pitch it, despite how you might feel, everybody knows that if you truly are on the side of like Trump is the worst and we needed to avoid him and his ilk at all costs, if you truly believe that, then you would have voted for Hillary Clinton.
Come on.
And there's just no counter to it.
Right. Wouldn't have been no hemming and hawing. Wouldn't have been no let's vote for whatever. I mean, you can do what you want to with your vote, but
but it becomes more, what I'm saying is it becomes more obvious every day.
Right.
Like there was a period of time when it was kind of an ambiguous amount of time. Like you could still kind of be like, well, not really, or well, what I mean, look, if I want to protest and I want to do a protest vote, that's what I want to do. And it's getting more evident as it becomes as bad as I thought it would be, if not even worse. It's becoming more evident that anything that could have been done to stop this should have happened. And it doesn't matter that whatever your gripe is, there's literally zero people's agendas that are better off for what we have now than it would have been under Hillary Clinton that I care about anyway. There's zero agendas that people, you know, that people can have. It's impossible. Like, that's why you see the silence. That's why people want to move on. That's why people still feel comfortable, like, still taking shots at, like, Obama, rather than talking about what's happening now.
I'm like, nigga, he ain't in office. What the fuck are you talking about, dog?
Right, but you can't be comfortable talking about being complicit in now. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to still hold on to their points. You know, everybody's too busy being a brand and being fake and fucking, you know, trying to get come at it from an angle where you're gonna get more attention for yourself or whatever. But some of this shit is just so depressing. There's no other angle to be viewed. It's simply, this is fucked up. We should have done whatever we could to keep it from being this way. That's it. And anything else was gambling with people's lives and shit. So, right. I don't know.
And that's something that people, in my opinion, underestimate in this country when it comes to dire needs, and it comes to, you can see tragedy on the horizon. Black women is number one in that. And particularly in the voting block for the Democratic Party, they were like, hey, no to him. We don't care who else the other person is. It's just no to him at all costs. And all the other people was doing their own thing and didn't take him seriously, didn't pay shit attention.
Well, you know what's funny, man, is the people who get the attention are the people that say the most salacious shit. You know, I've been saying for a minute, a lot of people have been so woke that they're anti-black on some of this shit.
Right.
Like, I'm so woke that I'm against black people voting for Democrats, even when they don't have a better option. Like, that's how woke I am. So essentially, you anti the 94% of black women who voted and voted for Hillary Clinton because you didn't fuck with her. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a black and white, broad stroke type way to paint the shit. But I'm like, you know what, dog? If that's what you believe, fuck it. Guess I'm a bad person because I wanted Hillary Clinton to be in charge more than I wanted Donald Trump to be in charge. Yeah. I'm sorry I let you down.
Right. And put it like this. 8 months, if we would have gotten Hillary Clinton, would not be the fucking chaos we have today.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, the moment he got voted in office, the United States became a joke all over the goddamn world. Because everybody else was like, fucking what, America? And he has proved ever since the very first day he got in office, he had no business getting that goddamn job. And I can tell you right now, for me personally, just watching a lot of this, it just makes me, and I don't know if it's something that I will ever get over. I'm just mad and I'm just angry, and I can't express that enough, because, you know, in my mind, you know, it's amazing how white supremacy, and like you say, it's so intoxicating that yo gives zero fucks. And this is why I don't let white women off the hook. I don't let the 53%. Every time something come up, I'm like, motherfucker, it's your fault. It is your fault.
Yeah, people don't want to see them get blamed, but they part of it. You know, and the other thing too is, even with all this shit, I come back to Trump when it comes to this, because I feel like this is all part of that brand.
Right.
So that's why it comes back to Trump, because it's like, well, this is just some people marching. Yeah, under the auspices of an administration that supports what their cause.
Right.
White supremacy, right. White nationalism. Right. It is supported by them.
Right.
Their policies say opposite of anything they could possibly say after this violence. Their policies say, we want brown people out of the country. We don't want to let them into the country. That's what their policies say. Their policies are white nationalism. It doesn't matter what statements they give. You know, it's the same, which is ironic, because it's the same kind of thing I said about the Obama administration, because I'm keeping it consistent. There were times where Obama would say something, but his policy would be different. You know what I mean? Where, and I mean that for like pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were times when he'd be like, listen, man, we need to work with everybody and both people have a point. But then you look at his policy, and the policy is blackety black, black, black. You know, the policy is, police, y'all need to give up this, 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 and this. That's the actual policy that gets handed down. But people get too mad that he's like, look, don't riot, cause you're gonna fuck up everything and it's not good. And people go, why the fuck can he just come out and say we can ride? You know, it's like, you know why he can't. You know he's not gonna do that. No one's ever gonna do that. There's never gonna ever be a president that said it's okay to riot. Period. It doesn't matter if it's a billion years from now. No president is gonna be like, go ahead and burn up the shit. Fuck these white folk. That's not what's gonna happen. But then when you see the policy recommendations, the things that he's doing, the people he's bringing in to oversee shit, and it's like, okay, well, obviously the cops hate this fucking agenda. It's that kind of thing. But, you know, I understand it's an emotional thing and all that stuff, but I feel like that's when we get into this territory where it's like, that's, now I'm watching it with Trump, where he's going to come out and condemn violence while also, you know, promoting violence. Right. Like, his policies are violence. His speeches are violence. They are telling people to be violent. No, I'm not going to say, well, at least he said, no, fuck him.
Mm-mm.
At least nothing. I know what he really means. The same way I had to look through the code switching sometimes for Obama, you have to look through the code switching for this racism too. It's right there in your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have time to pretend to be fucking unable to see that shit. I can see it, and y'all can too. And yes, it works both ways. You know, so, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. And one more thing before we go on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the, particularly the marching we've seen, in my opinion, all that was another way of them saying, I hope y'all didn't think racism was dead. We still out here, and niggas be scared and get put in your place. And all brown people, because all brown people, that's to the niggas, to those people. So all brown people just be scared. I was like, hey, this is our quote unquote warning sign. Because all that did was heighten other people to turn around and do this shit too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the sign, it's weird though, because in a way, I don't know how to express it, but I'm not scared. which, you know, I don't like to be angry like that. I don't like to be in a place like that, but and I'm not blaming anybody that is. I'm not saying you shouldn't be or whatever. I'm saying for me personally, I don't feel scared. Like, that's not, like, maybe it's, I don't know. I just feel like this is kind of how it's always been. We were already navigating a world that was like this in a lot of ways. And we got a brief reprieve for a little bit in our lifetime. And now it's just back to normal. Like, this is what they've been doing. You know what I mean? So they want us to be scared. And part of me feels like I'm not. You know what I mean? Like part of me, as much as I say, like, they are definitely a legacy to the racism of the people that were standing under those trees, they're not those people that were standing on those trees. And what I mean by that is these motherfuckers are different in their cowardice, in their fear, in their desperation. You can still be hurt and injured. They are still dangerous, but there's something about them that is pathetic on a level that I mean, it builds a contempt in me to look at the patheticness of the charade and the mask that they try to put on to scare us, you know. And I don't know if I had the words to truly articulate what I'm trying to say, but there's something about it where it's just like, y'all are cowards, and it's obvious that y'all are just scared, and y'all are scared that your time is going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And right. That your voice is going to not be the only voice.
I'm with you. Yeah.
And you're it's really more like watching a child throw a tantrum, but a very dangerous child. But it, you know, like, I don't know, there's like a simplicity to it that is at once chilling, but at the same time sort of like, I don't know, almost like, I hate to use this word, but almost like laughable, because it's just like, pardon my gendered slur, but y'all some bitches, you know what I mean? Like, it just, you just look and you're like, this is the most weak bullshit you could pull, you know. Some of this shit, we're marching because what? Y'all won the White House. What the fuck are you even marching about? What are you mad about? What are you even driving your car into somebody about? You know, not that it's okay when people do this shit for other stuff, but when a terrorist does some shit, it's because it's like, it's a certain percentage of us. People keep fucking with us and trying to kill us, and this is the only way I feel like I can make an impact. Like, they feel small because they are small to a certain extent. Doesn't make it okay. Still, it's what grand act can I do? Because I'm small. Like, I don't have the numbers. I don't have the people. I don't have the support. I don't have a military construct behind me. If I want to make an impact, I'm going to just try to make a statement by killing all these innocent, unsuspecting people. And it's going to send ripples throughout the world. That's what they hope, right? White people are doing this shit and they in charge of everything. It's like, what the fuck are you even mad about?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I said, they want us to be scared. And I guess because I recognize that that's what they want, I'm just like, what? Like, what the fuck do you want from me?
Put it like this, I'm scared, but the thing is, particularly being a woman, I'm more scared of what I will do if I'm pushed so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not scared of the rallies and all that. I'm scared that one day I'm gonna be somewhere minding my own motherfucking business and shit gonna break out. Like, right. Like, that's what I'm scared about. I'm scared I'm gonna be walking down the street, minding my own business, some shit gonna break out, somebody gonna say, oh nigger! And all of a sudden, I'm gonna have to fucking fight, or I'm gonna have to, defend myself, or something like that. Because as being a man, a lot of times you don't have those same fears that I have on certain situations.
No, I absolutely think about that. We've talked about it on the show. Well, I'll be playing ball or something. I'm in a black space, essentially playing basketball, and I see some white dude come in jeans, and I'm thinking to myself, like, the fuck is he doing here? You know, is this gonna have to be something? Yesterday, I was walking with you and Coco Cutie,
mm-hmm.
and that white dude just came over and started asking me something. I wasn't even paying attention to him really, because I didn't want to stop and talk to him. It sounded like he wanted some money or something. But at the same time, I was like, I hope this isn't some motherfucker activated by this rally shit, and I'm gonna have to fucking punch his ass in his face or something. You know what I mean? Because I'm not gonna let something happen to you. So I think about that shit all the time, you know?
Yeah, but I guess from my perspective is that as being a man, you can defend yourself. You know, me. Well,
oh, yeah, okay.
I'm completely different. Like as being a man, some shit break out, you can put your fist up, you can overpower. Me being a female, I can't pop out and be like, oh, motherfucker, let's square up. A 200, 300, even 150-pound grown-ass man, a fucking teenager come at me, I cannot defend myself a lot of times. So I'm not scared of that. I'm scared is if you charge at me and I have to do something to defend my life, I will fuck you up and go to jail. That's what I'm afraid of,
my perspective. That's exactly what I'm saying, though. I don't know. It sounds like you're saying the opposite, but you're saying the exact same thing as me, which is that I'm not worried as much about, I thought you were going to say the opposite, which is that you were worried about someone harming you and you can't do anything. You're saying you're worried. Okay. Well, if that's different, like, and I worry about that too. I do recognize that it's different for women. I'm not trying to say it's not different, but I worry more that, like that time when, the dude got in a fight in front of my car and threw the stick and the white dude threw the stick and the stick hit my car, mm-hmm. even though he was aiming for somebody else and it knocked my mirror off.
Right.
I was kind of scared of how calm I was. Cause I just snapped right into like, okay, I might have to fuck this dude up. I don't know. I have his stick now. If he comes over here and he says something to me, if I have to go to jail for killing this man, that's just what's gonna have to happen, because I'm not gonna let him kill me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was thinking like that already, and that was off of a random stick hitting my car. Like, the fact that I even was able to go there is scary to me, because I'm like, that's not, hopefully a normal human being is not going through that all the time. I didn't used to be like that, but you see the environment we're in, and it's like, nigga, I'm not dying for y'all,
right? I guess the way I'm looking at it is from the perspective, for me, to an extent, I have both fears. I have the fear that I might hurt you. Then I also have the fear that it might be a situation where I'm not able to overtake this person.
Yeah.
And a lot of that double fear comes with being a woman, right, in my opinion, because I understand what you're saying. But you just being able to go, I got your stick, now I'm going to do. A woman in that same situation, they looking at this, okay, I got a man, am I going to have to hit my gas? Am I going to have to, because you have to think of alternative things
other than
being physically violent sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like you think we disagree and we're not. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm literally saying, like, the way you phrase it is, well, what am I have to do to survive? I'm saying, I think that too.
Okay, that's
I think it's different because you're a woman,
right?
And I'm not belittling that. I'm saying I still have those same thoughts. It's just different. You're a woman,
right? Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay, but then that's true too.
Yeah. That shit is what's scary about all this shit. I bet you I'm not alone in that. I bet you there's a lot of black people that think about stuff like this every day now.
Yes. You know,
like, what the fuck would I do if it comes down to it? You know,
right?
Like, I'm not. Like I said, it's not even, agreed, it's not fear on that basis, but it's fear like flight or fight. Like, it's
right,
not, I don't walk around every day like, ooh, somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's not even that. And I know that's what they want, but they about to get something different.
Yeah, they is. Cause they're going to fuck around and get fucked up.
Like, I don't ascribe to that whole, like, I'm not my ancestor shit. Cause I think that's very disrespectful. And many of our ancestors died fighting and shit. I don't understand when people do that. That, to me, that's just you accepting the white supremacy narrative that everything that was resistance was motherfuckers getting water hosed, and that's not true. But anyway, the point being, they might catch these hands, and then I don't know what's gonna happen if I fuck somebody up. I don't know what happens to me after that.
Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? I just don't want to die fucking on my back. You know? I think about that shit, and I think when I see that rally and shit, I think about that in that case. Mm-hmm. You know, like, anyway, man, rest in peace to that woman and
mm-hmm.
swift recovery to all those people that got injured. Yeah. And I hope that, I hope that that dude that did that shit, actually, to be honest, I hope he dies. I hope he gets a death penalty. I don't know if they got it.
I don't know if they're per state.
Yeah, I'm not your progressive fave, dog. I believe in that shit. Kill that motherfucker. I don't care about him. You know, if the death penalty wasn't racist, I'd just be like, kill him. You know, honestly,
that's why I'm against it, because it's racist.
Yeah, I don't feel like fighting about the shit. Mm-hmm. You know, don't write in. I don't care. I understand it's fucked up and racist. I don't care. I have that vengeance within me. I hope he gets killed. I hope he just goes to jail and some nigga kills him in there. Yeah, fuck him. All right, hold on. I gotta go to the next session. We up at the break, and we've talked only about this so far. We'll try to find some other things to talk about. Give me one second.
Yeah, and the biggest reason why me and you haven't really talked about it, because I really hadn't said anything, because I've been just sitting in my thoughts and getting my mind right and just delving through all the information like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about this all the time in my free time. We go out to eat or something. I know we had a podcast. Certain topics are going to come up, and I honestly don't be wanting to talk about this shit constantly all the time. And I'm sure black people don't want to hear about this, but we had this podcast for a reason. And there's also black people out there in America that probably feel alone, that are in jobs where they're in the middle of the country and they don't have support and shit. And maybe hopefully hearing some other black people talk about this might give them some level of ease, you know, like you're not alone out there if you out there by yourself and surrounded by white people, because you can't trust any of them because of shit like this. And I don't care how it feels, but how it make white people feel, they don't feel uncomfortable. We can't trust any of y'all because of this shit. You know, too many, it's not all of us, not me type people out here, but they not out here doing nothing. They not stopping their racist uncles. They not cutting them off. They not saying, they think it's cute. You know, I had a friend who used to send me emails from his conspiracy theory racist uncle or cousin or some shit, and he would think, haha, isn't this funny? But then when I would start breaking down how fucked up it was, I noticed him being uncomfortable, and he would be like, well, yeah, I mean, he's harmless, he's just a guy. And I'm like, but he's not, he's harmless to you, but his shit harms me every fucking day. His mentality harms me. It takes form in laws, it takes form in the police, it takes form in the media. It is real. You know, that was one last thing. That was another thing. Somebody told me, like, well, I feel like the media is to blame for all this, for hyping this up. And it was a black dude. And I told him I didn't want to debate him online, because honestly, what would it matter if two people in the world come to agreement or not on fucking Twitter? It literally has zero impact on the world. But what I will say is this. Before there was a fucking media, before there was CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News, even when it was just newspapers, even before the printing press, white people been fucked up since fucked up was fucked up. We not about to act like this shit is
brand new.
White people are basically good, and they just get they just start being this way because they turned on the TV one day. No, this shit is by design. It's generational. It has penetrated every level of society. It has penetrated your religion. It has penetrated the things that we teach in school. It is already there. It is pervasive. And no, it's no one thing to blame. It's just like a video game can't be responsible for Columbine, a rap album can't be responsible for Ray Rice hitting his wife. Some of this shit is societal and systemic and epidemic levels. And no, you can't blame somebody else for it. It's you. Take some fucking personal responsibility that you always asking us to take. Take that shit for your motherfucking self and look at your sons before you pack their lunch and shit and tell them the shit is wrong. You know, white women are complicit in this shit. White people are complicit in this shit. The media is chicken or egg argument. Is the media that way because people are that way, or people that way because the media is that way? I don't give a fuck. The solution is, but I know this, people that way before there was a media. Before there was a Bill O'Reilly, people was racist. So fuck out of here with that. All right, sorry. More angry news. Inside the fight that could derail the Democratic Party. It's a long ass CNN article, and the basic thing is these niggas still fighting. So if your hope was having Trump and this angry presidential election and society and environment will actually cause unity on the left, and people will say, you know what, I don't even care if I think these people are too progressive or too liberal, I will just come to their side, because, you know, there were enough of them to derail Hillary Clinton, so therefore we have to do whatever they say. They've taken the party hostage. That's what's gonna happen. Remember all those predictions? Yeah, that's not what happened. Apparently people still fighting because they're like, I'm not giving you my party just because a few of y'all niggas got angry, and y'all not really Democrats, and y'all can't just have our party without putting in on this, man.
Come on, you don't support nobody, you don't stomp in nobody else's ground, you don't spend no motherfucking money here, and as soon as the election was over, you went back to beat it.
Right, yeah, as soon as it was over, he was like, I'm an independent, I'm not really a Democrat, but he gives speeches for Democrats, he does this unity tour that he's going around the country as if he's a Democrat. He's definitely speaking out of both sides of his mouth, and his supporters are too. And they essentially want to take over the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party's like, no. Come on. That's really it's that simple. And my thing was, people said they took a lot of credit. Bernie didn't win. That's the reason Hillary lost. A lot of people, but they don't want no credit for Donald Trump, which I think is kind of like playing both sides of that fence.
Come on.
Because either you saying that since Bernie didn't win, you wouldn't fuck with Hillary, so Trump won, so you are responsible indirectly for Trump, or if not even directly.
Come on.
But yet at the same time, you're also saying that Trump is not your fault, and that has nothing to do with you, and you would never let that happen, and all this shit. So it's I don't know, some real funky logic over there with that. Not to mention the math, and doesn't add up no matter how they put it. If you can't win a primary, you're not going to beat Trump. Any poll that had Hillary beating Trump had Bernie beating Trump, but those polls turned out to be wrong, right? So now what? Also, she won the popular vote. So now what? We would have just been sitting up here with like, well, Bernie won less than the popular vote and probably lost. So now what? Because it's not like everybody was going to vote for Hillary was going to turn around and vote for Bernie either. There was going to be some runoff no matter which person won. That's how all of these elections go. This one was just more divisive than normal because there's a guy from outside the party trying to take over the party. But yeah, I don't know how people could even fall for that shit. Anyway, point being, they still arguing. The Vermont independent senator himself is winning battles over the direction of the Democratic Party. He's emerged as a messaging leader on healthcare, appeared on a unity tour with the party's new chairman, and helped craft a populist economic agenda for the midterm elections. Many Democrats even concede the possibility that Sanders could enter the 2020 presidential race as the party's front runner if he chooses to run.
He's gonna be 85. What's happening here? 90.
I don't know how old he's gonna be, but he would be old.
Yes.
But even as Sanders and the party leadership increasingly make ties on Capitol Hill, infighting with roots in the ideologically loaded and often deeply personal 2016 primary are threatening to blow up the detente, this new series of emotional, racially tinged arguments could shatter a fragile peace, forge the opposition to President Donald Trump, and undermine the Democratic efforts to claw back control from Republicans in Congress during next year's midterm election season. Unity requires give and take, but it seems that it's just take from the Bernie-crat, said Nina Turner, the president of Our Revolution, the political organization that emerged from Sanders' 2016 run for president, using the term Bernie-crats that Sanders supporters like Turner apply to themselves. Essentially what she's saying, because the first time I read this quote, I thought, oh, she's saying the Bernie-crats just want to take, and they not giving nothing. I'm like, good, that's what they do. I'm glad that Nina Turner kind of realizes that. And no, she's saying the opposite. She's saying the Democratic Party just wants the Bernie-crats to just take, insult after insult, and slight after slight, and never do anything about it. And I don't know, that sounds ridiculous to me, right? But those are just the interactions I've had with Bernie people. Turner was appointed by Sanders to the DNC's Unity Commission in the wake of the 2016 contest. Her comments have led other members of the 21-person commission to grumble that Turner is more interested in sowing discord as a publicity and fundraising tool, but in an interview with CNN, she refused to back down. The Bernie-crats are being labeled as always wrong. They don't get it. They're too emotional. They don't want to win elections. This is hurtful, a hurtful environment, and people are human and do have feelings, so both sides are just duking it out.
But you know a strategy to this shit, right? And y'all didn't want to win. He don't want to win. He didn't want to win. And if he wanted to be Hillary Clinton, he had to court to black people. He don't know how to talk to black people. He didn't stump in a lot of black spaces, and she won them all. That's the truth. So your feelings has nothing to do with strategy, baby.
Yeah. Yep. And I find it interesting that anyway, I have something to say in a second, but mm-hmm. Yep, I noticed that too.
Yeah, and the tone deafness is why people go fuck y'all, but go ahead.
The anger that simmered in Sanders' camp since 2016 Democratic National Convention bubbled to the surface in comments from some of Vermont senators' most prominent political allies and surrogates, particularly in two recent clashes. First, three key Sanders backers, National Nurses Union Executive Director Roseanne DeMauro, pro-Sanders journalist Nomiki Const, and People for Bernie co-founder Winnie Wong, publicly dismissed Senator Kamala Harris's prospects of winning over the party's progressive wing. The pointed quotes were picked up online when a mic report published after the California Democrat was feted by top party donors in the Hamptons went viral in late July. Many Democrats saw the criticism of Harris as a needless counterproductive jab as a rising star, but Sanders backers, who tend to be younger and whiter than the overall Democratic electorate, were stung by the suggestions that this distaste for Harris is fueled by race. Here's the thing, and this is so sincere, and this is one of the reasons I say that a lot of the like really leftist black people are going to have a PR problem for a while. That shit is a fact that Bernie Sanders supporters are young and white,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean there's no black Bernie supporters. Doesn't mean there's no black people in the most progressive ultra left. It doesn't mean any of that. Doesn't mean that. But if you think that you are the representative and the voice over there, you are kidding yourself.
Come on.
And if that's your gripe, if that's what you're going to be angry at people about, is that they pretend that, quote unquote, pretend that you don't exist, that's going to be a gripe you're going to have forever. Because you don't have the numbers and you're not in the positions to truly be considered the voice. That's just what that is. That's why people go, yeah, that's a young white people's game. Is it fair? It's not fair. You know, I don't know but I haven't seen poll numbers. I haven't seen surveys or anything. I don't know what the number is. I do know what the poll return numbers are for after we do vote in these elections. They not getting a lot of the black vote. So if you're looking at that party and going, and that position and going, how come black people aren't seen as the face? It's because you literally are not the face. And if that's if you find that insulting, that you have to take that up with them. Cause honestly, I'm so sick of black people getting mad at the 3%, the 2%, the 1% of black people over there getting mad at everybody else. Cause they're like, yeah, man, for the most part, y'all niggas aren't in this conversation when it comes to the discussion, just because people that they don't promote y'all as voices,
right?
They don't put you at the head of anything.
We don't see your face nowhere.
They don't, yeah, they don't, like, you're not in most people's minds representative of this huge swath of blackness, and that is a problem in the way that they promote shit over there. You know, I think it's a problem on the extreme left that they don't seem to give a fuck about black shit in general. They pivot towards the economy. So then you make people that are black frustrated with the most vocal voices on the left. And then the people that are getting squashed down in the whole thing are other black people that are becoming victimized by erasure over there too. So like, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, you know that's what's happening. Like, you blaming other black people and shit, what's that matter?
Yeah, that's not gonna make a difference. And it's one of the things to where in my opinion, and Bernie, basically you're trying to go after the same white supremacist people that they're marching and protesting right now. So why would black people give a fuck about what you got to say?
Well, that's the thing. That's what the vocal left is saying. Like, Bernie and them, their messaging is one of, we can capitulate to these white people that voted for Trump. Many black people on the left don't see Bernie as a spokesperson. They don't see him as a radical. They see him as very standard compromise. They see him as the almost the way that most black people look at Hillary. They see him as that. But it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter, but they're not, it's not enough people, and their voices aren't amplified enough to completely change that narrative. And I see them getting angry and shit on Twitter, and I just don't say nothing, because I'm like, that problem is much bigger than you, like, going, well, I'm just sick of people erasing us and not talking about us. That problem is so big. The people that you should be sick of are the people on the, over there that are doing that. Because you want to leapfrog this point. Like, there's a point where you need to basically take over the left, right? And I don't mean the Democrats. I mean, you need to take over the the socialism aspect, the Bernie Sanders act. You need to take that over. And if you can't take it over, you can't skip that step and then be like, how come the people that are in the Democratic Party don't see that we over here? Because the people that are supposed to be over there with you as your allies, they don't see you.
And they don't see us. That's not right. A PR problem.
Yeah, I feel like I just feel bad for them because it's not fair what's happening over there. But that's the truth.
Right, and that's the reality of
it. And when you look at the people that support Bernie, who is, if you did a poll in America, who is the face of socialism in America, it would be Bernie. Even though many people that are, you know, very strict, true socialists don't believe he is, mm-hmm. or should be, that's who it is right now. And that dude's extremely racially tone deaf, and black people don't fuck with him. I'm not sure how we're supposed to get past that, you know? And honestly, it's not my job to figure that out, but mm-hmm. hopefully somebody will. I don't know. I just wanted to reiterate that before I go into this next point. But yes, it is a fact. Bernie Sanders, the most vocal, quote unquote, socialist, the loudest voice of socialism in America, has a very young white fan base. So then when Joy Ann Reid tweets, so black Democrats must go begging young white leftists who were not numerous enough to nominate their preferred pick last time.
Come on.
Somehow in that, I saw people that were black on the left get mad.
But that's a fact, though.
She was specifically talking in that tweet. I remember reading that string and being like, I see what you're saying. Because she was specifically talking about Bernie Sanders and this one article that basically said Bernie Sanders and his young white leftist base want to take over the Democratic Party. And she was like, black people are the base of this party. We supposed to just beg y'all niggas for no. Y'all supposed to be begging us. Like, that's how it is. We have the power over in this party. If it's gonna be some old do it this way or lose shit, then it's gonna be because black people said do it this way or lose. It's not gonna be because of y'all.
Right.
It's not enough of y'all. And I saw people getting offended, like, see, she didn't even say nothing about black people. Y'all try to act like we not over here. I'm like, well, did you read the article? Because the article's mm-hmm. talking about how his support is black, is young and white. So unless you're trying to say there's a large swath of young black people that are supporting Bernie Sanders and being ignored, then, and maybe there is, let's say there is, why isn't Bernie promoting y'all?
Yeah, and let's say,
why, where is your voice?
Right, and that's the thing, if it is, nobody hears y'all.
Right, because if you're telling me your voice is Bernie, well, Bernie don't believe in identity politics, so he's saying fuck y'all's racial shit. If you're telling me your voice is Nina Turner mirrors what Bernie says. She says the same thing about identity politics. So now what? Cause I do care about identity politics. You know, Bernie pivots to the economy away from identity politics. Let me tell you something about identity politics. Identity politics is the economy.
Yes, it is.
It's just not the white male economy.
Right.
But you're telling me abortion is something that Bernie Sanders is willing to compromise on? You telling me that's not the economy? You pay for these kids. You pay for this healthcare. They gonna shut down Planned Parenthood behind this shit. You, where's that cost gonna come from? How I'm supposed to, all the other stuff that they do, but besides just, not that there's anything wrong with abortion, but besides just that, all the other shit that they do, they just supposed to, I'm supposed to find that somewhere else? It doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. How can you nominate or support candidates who don't support that? Yeah, how can you compromise there, but I'm supposed to believe you won't compromise on my black ass rights?
Come on.
You know, like, that is a huge problem over there, and it's why people don't fuck with him like that. It's why he's gonna continue to lose the black vote. You know, it's why, and So that's a big problem. Over policing of black communities is an economic problem. It's not identity politics. We're not just in the street because we're emotional and upset that our loved ones are being killed. Not that that's not a valid ass reason, but it also is emblematic and of a bigger issue, which is the fact that incarceration is essentially slavery in America now. Mm-hmm. And you're promoting, we're still being enslaved into these systems. When you have a Ferguson where a police department is essentially monetizing crime by creating, like, they basically privatized crime. They basically said, we need to have a certain amount of crime. We're gonna put warrants on people for fucking parking tickets, put them in jail, give them high bail, write this invoice to the government and say, hey, send us some money. We just locked up 10 more people and we need the money for that. And we get a cut of that. Like, that is an economic thing. That is the economy. That is not just identity politics. When you talk about people with immigration kicking people out of this country, they came here to try to find a living, that they have jobs, they have families, they mm-hmm. have kids in school. That's economic, dog. It's not just identity politics. We talk about Muslims coming here to work, sometimes fleeing places where it might even be our bombs, but places where they getting killed and shit.
Come on.
Like, that's economic too. That's more than just identity politics. These compromises are compromises that are simply about not being a white man. So that's why people don't fuck with Bernie. And you wonder why the fuck he keep losing and why people ain't gonna vote for him. That's why people ain't voting for him. Cause he calls me and shit that I believe in identity politics. This LGBTQ shit, the ban in the military on transgender people, the fact that they are eroding the federal rights of gay people and to be employed, where you can no longer be protected as under employment, where the federal Title IX is supposed to exempt people who are trans now and say sexual orientation and shit, that's not protected. Gender is protected, but not your actual orientation, whether gender orientation or sexual orientation. That's the economy. That's a job, literally, for somebody. It doesn't get more one-to-one than that. Yet this man will only throw lip service at that shit, and if it comes down to it, in his zeal to quote unquote, I don't know, get Wall Street, whatever that fucking means, and his zeal to break up the banks, he will compromise on every last one of those things. Cause he's not beholden to any of those demographics. He doesn't believe in that shit. Mm-hmm. He's like, it would be nice, but that's it. The economy is not going to do anything about the fact that my net worth as a black man who graduated from college will always be below that of a white person as a fucking high school dropout.
Right.
Show me the plan for that. Cause you keep telling me you're gonna get to it later and I don't believe you. You know, like, that's the thing that you keep dropping. If you don't care, then just don't care. But if you don't, but don't tell me you care why you don't care. Like, no one's that stupid. So anyway, man, that's the shit that I find funny over there. You know, and I'll go back to this. I said on the show a long time ago, he never even made the connection that could have saved his entire fucking campaign by being like, listen, it was the racism in the housing market crash that led to the corruption of Wall Street, and it hurt everybody. So on the backs of black and brown people that were targeted with these fucking subprime loans, you ended up with Wall Street people getting rich as fuck off of that shit, and nobody went to jail. And I'm here to tell black people, I'm gonna put them motherfuckers in jail. All of a sudden, you got me listening. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even make the connection because he's so fucking scared that his supporters are gonna hear black and run the fuck away. Like, oh, I wasn't here for all that race shit, Bernie. I thought you were just gonna say that Black Lives Matter and walk away. I didn't know you were gonna... You know, I thought you were just gonna say the economy, because you know why those white people are over there? They're there to get a leg up for whiteness, for them. That's it. They are upset and jealous at these white people that are making more money off of capitalism than they are. That's it. I don't give a fuck about your rights. You give a fuck about me. I don't give a fuck about women. White people are there just to be like, I'm mad at these other rich white people. Why they get to be rich and I'm not? I was promised a car and a job and a house and a picket fence and I ain't got it. That's it. And you can't trust them because they ain't allies for shit. I have no trust over there on that side. It's not a coalition. If you don't build a coalition, how the fuck I'm supposed to trust you? To be honest, Bernie should be coming in and getting like minimum 30% of the black vote if he want any level of trust. Like what he did in Michigan, but everywhere. He should be doing that everywhere. You shouldn't be writing off the South. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be trotting out Cornel West and Killer Mike. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be, going to one HBCU and skipping the rest. No, you should be everywhere getting that black vote, and you shouldn't be out here trotting out this "I hate identity politics" bullshit, because no black person is gonna not see the code in that. So yeah, he's a limp dick leader, dog. No one's fucking with him. He can't be, he's not a unifier. He's not a transformative figure like Obama was, where even when people disagree with him, when he's talking, people feel like, well, he's giving me hope. Maybe it can work out. He's not even that kind of guy. He's an angry white dude in a wrinkled suit that unless you're angry at Wall Street and that's the only thing you care about, he ain't got shit for you, man. So yeah, man, this fight inside where they're trying to take down coincidentally three people of color candidates in 2017 when the fucking election ended to 2020. You're so, that's the desperation of Bernie Sanders supporters. They're so desperate and scared. They're doing character assassination in 2017. Dog, you don't even know who's running. Y'all that scared?
They are.
What does that say about your man? The only way you think you can get him through is basically unopposed. Cause you know if anybody steps to him, he losing.
Particularly if anybody brown steps forward.
And that goes back to my ultimate point that I wanted to make before I click off this fucking article. Y'all need to be running Nina Turner. Now, she parrots the same things he says. This is not to say that her policies are better. This is not to say that her stances are better. I saw some shit where she was talking about identity politics and I was like, sis, come on. Really? You about to tell me that this shit just identity politics? You black, you know better. But you saying what you need to do to have his supporters stay with you. This is the plan that y'all have. I'm sure y'all get y'all talking points together. I'm sure that this is, you know, y'all have decided that that is the line to try. You know, like he wasn't saying identity politics on the campaign trail when he needed the black vote. Now he's saying it. Message received. Trump people, you're hoping that they'll get the code. And let me tell you something, you're never getting those Trump voters because they voted for racism and y'all ain't racist enough.
Right.
So you're not racist enough to get them. So you need to be trying to get the black vote. I don't know what the fuck y'all are doing over there. It's a horrible strategy and you're never going to win the Democratic primary without the black vote. Ever. And you're not going to get it by trotting out some of the most anti-black, woke candidate, woke spokespeople that are so black they don't fuck with black people. It's a stupid ass plan,
right? And then you're not going to get it by not campaigning in areas until like a day or two before. First time here in North Carolina we even seen anything promote anything you have did. It was literally like a day or two before it was time to vote, and then turn around and tell the niggas that y'all are stupid and y'all uneducated and y'all just don't know. I remember those things.
Like they want to take over the DNC but also say the DNC is the enemy. You can't have both. I don't understand what their plan is. But anyway, my point is, they should be running Nina Sanders anyway. I mean, Nina Turner anyway. You know, possibly Simone Sanders, I don't know. But I know Simone was, kinda hedged her bet, and I know she supported Hillary after, Bernie lost and all that stuff, which is nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, she probably would be even better, but I don't know how they feel about her. But, y'all should be running Nina Turner. She's young, she's black, she's a woman, she says all the same shit that Bernie Sanders says, but she might get more traction with black people saying that shit than Bernie would. If Bernie can push his ego aside and he really cares about the country and he just wants his platform to be electable, that's what he wants, is his own thing. If it's not about him and it's about the people and all the stuff that he says, then why wouldn't y'all just run Nina Turner instead? She definitely would have a better chance of winning than he would. Optically, black women who did vote in the general election, 94% of them voted Democrat. If you can get Nina Turner on a Democratic ticket in the primary, you got a chance of hitting at the black vote that is the base of these other people. You know, and it would be, honestly, I don't know if there's some other reason I'm not thinking of, but literally, if you, rather than trying to character assassinate Kamala Harris, why wouldn't you just run Nina Turner to get at the black woman vote? Cause you think Hillary got the black woman vote, nigga. If they run a black woman, they gonna get the black woman vote from the Democrats, period. And Kamala Harris can do it, because no offense to the people that are upset with some of the issues they have with her, in the big scheme of things, they are very small issues compared to what most people care about in America. That is not shade towards anybody's issues. I get it, like the sex worker thing, the even the they had prison labor in California, and like she didn't challenge the use of it in some situations. Like, this is not to belittle those things, but if you're being honest, the vast majority of America is not gonna be like, well, I'll never vote for her because I think she shouldn't have got rid of Backpage. That is, and you know I'm telling the truth. There's a portion of people that are very, very pro sex worker rights or whatever, disagree about her approach to that, but they, it's not enough. They'll probably never even ask those questions in a debate. So let's talk about why the fuck y'all, why she can't win. You know, like that's not, it's not gonna happen. So I just think it's funny, in 2017 they already character assassinated, and it's not just her, it's Cory Booker, it's like a bunch of people. They're just going after these coincidentally black people, and they had some non-black people go after these black people, but they not black. Like, just because they not white don't mean that they can come at these black people, and I'm not gonna say see the pattern. But anyway, point being, at all this shit, I'm surprised they just not running Nina Turner. Why wouldn't you just run Nina Turner? I don't understand. Is she bad at speeches or something? Like, I don't, she clearly must got next over there. Or are you scared that if you say balls in your court now, Nina, it's your, you take the movement that Bernie and these people have galvanized and you head it up. Are you scared them white people gonna leave?
Yup. You're not gonna get the support.
Are you scared they're gonna leave? Cause that's when my question then becomes. Cause she seems to be the obvious candidate over there if you're trying to win young black women left voters. Seem to be the obvious candidate. You might even get some of those staunch hardcore, like, I'm so woke and black that I don't fuck with, I just only fuck with like three people. You might even get some of them people to be like, you know what, maybe we can push Nina Turner on some things, maybe she'll listen because she's black and da da da. Maybe. I'm just saying, those people don't fuck with Bernie either, and this is just another way to lose in 2020 right now. Show me what you're doing any different than last time. I don't see anything different. If anything, it's gotten worse with the whole, like, we're gonna try to get these races over here. It's gotten worse. So what are y'all gonna do? Cause that's what everybody's looking at y'all like, is this the plan? Cause that can't be the plan. If that's the plan, then I guess we're gonna have to just wait to see what Barack Obama does behind the scenes. Cause y'all are just playing right into his hands. It's gonna be that again. And I'm not even saying I'm opposed to that. I'm just saying, just looking at the chessboard, that everybody's basically waiting on the return of the Messiah to say, hey, these are the people that we're supporting and this is the future of the party now. Go out and vote for them. And then that person's gonna have a hell of an advocate speaking on their behalf on these campaign trails, because regardless of how the fuck y'all feel about it, Barack Obama's still the most popular politician in all of America. Come on. And married to the most popular non-politician that speaks on politics, in Michelle Obama. Come on. And friends with them Carters. I mean, come on. It's ugly. If y'all can't get it together no better than this, it's ugly. Cause it's like, coup that they're trying to throw is fading already, you know. It seemed desperate.
Mm-hmm. And they just scared. They was like, well, we better shoot everybody down because we know whoever he picks, that's who people are gonna flock to.
Mm-hmm. So odd. Know that these folks have it in for Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker tweeted, Neera Tanden, the president of the Center for American Progress, The intense backlash provoked an equally sharp response from Sanders' allies, including Turner and the three who had initially panned Harris, Damora, Wong, and Cox, none of whom are white men. The online brouhaha set the stage for an in-person clash July 25th, the same day the Senate would vote on a motion to proceed on the Republican Obama repeal bill, a coincidence that would lead some party officials to question our revolution's tactics and motives, just outside the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington. Yeah, so on the day that everybody was supposed to be concentrating on the Obamacare repeal bill, trying to make that not pass, these motherfuckers showed up talking about we ain't getting enough shine. Turner led a group of 60 activists to deliver a petition to the DNC. Our revolution had told DNC officials of its plans 3 weeks earlier. When they arrived, DNC senior staffers greeted them on the steps with boxes of donuts and bottles of water. That's hilarious. The building's security team used crowd control measures when large crowds come, a DNC spokeswoman said. It's not an unusual step, particularly for a party that was hacked in 2016 with the political world on edge after the shooting at a congressional baseball practice. Right. DNC political director Amanda Brown Learman spoke to the group on the building steps, thanking them for their activism. But Turner, who is Sanders' appointed member of the DNC's Unity Commission, a DNC member and a longtime Democrat, was upset she wasn't allowed in the building.
They were like, did you have an appointment? No.
They said 3 weeks ago they had said they were coming. So I don't know if they had an appointment or not, but they said they were coming. We understand the fire code is not our first time delivering petitions. We get it, Turner said. But she added the DNC could have invited her and five people delivering the petitions into the building to sit down and briefly chat. Then we could have walked out in 5 or 10 minutes unified. They didn't even do that.
But what, y'all weren't going to agree? No, you're not taking over their party. Don't waste their time.
And legitimately, this was the day of the vote for the fucking healthcare repeal.
Right. Which shows me your goddamn disconnect.
Right. That's some really unfortunate time, and I know this is quote unquote never a good time, but that literally is the worst time.
They were like, dog, we gotta vote. No, you can't come in here talking no bullshit. Beat it.
The American people didn't give a fuck about that at that moment. They just worried like about my health care.
Right.
All hands on deck. Let's fight against this. The incident took on increased importance after Turner lashed out at DNC in an interview with BuzzFeed, which was published late Wednesday. Damora, whose nurse union provided crucial backing to Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign, spoke to Turner after the story's publication. I told her that the problem here is that she's a movement leader. She's speaking truth to power, Damora said. She gave an interview where she took issue with dictatorial, arrogant, pompous DNC. And said they were absolutely insulting.
So they're about to take a big vote. You talking about give me 10 minutes. It's like, dawg, we're trying to vote on healthcare and shit like this. And you like, I just need 10 minutes of your time. I told you 3 weeks ago. Here's some donuts and some water. We ain't trying to be rude, but we don't got time to sit with you.
Y'all like, can't come in.
Right, because you're not voting. You don't need you.
I mean, first of all, y'all just delivering a petition. So what? I mean, okay, thank you. Y'all can go. Like, what's the point?
Y'all have no power here.
Right, like, oh, we could, and I don't believe her either. Though we could speak for 5 or 10 minutes, it would have been straight. No,
y'all tied them time up. They were like, we got the vote. If y'all don't get out of here,
I wouldn't be surprised if they planned it, knowing that they will have to turn us away on this day.
It wasn't, yeah.
Which would actually be some good chess move strategy if they did.
Right.
Anyway, she gave a whole like interview saying that the DNC didn't listen to people and all this shit. Keep in mind, Bernie Sanders has installed people within the DNC now. Keith Ellison is a Bernie supporter. I mean, he on the establishment side, right? Bernie is a leader in the DNC now. Just because he independent don't make him not a leader.
Correct.
What's going on? I don't know. She wrote in the email, it's time for the Democratic Party to feel the burn again. The DNC may think they can continue working behind closed doors. They will know different than when millions of us come knocking. All right. Good luck with that, man. They tried to seduce us with donuts and water. They're pompous and arrogant enough to say to the people, you're not good enough to be on our property. And oh, by the way, we're just going to hand you donuts and water over the barricade. That is insulting. Absolutely insulting.
While they was taking a vote, what the fuck are you talking about, ma'am? That's like you roll up at somebody. I told you, we're having a family meeting. You can't come in here. Here's some donuts and water. I'm not going to leave you empty handed, but you need to get in your car and leave.
Mm-hmm.
At least they gave you that. Cause a lot of people, when they gave you shit, and just said, get off our property.
That's what they said. That they were meant to be tokens of goodwill, that the snacks were a source of animus, came as a surprise inside the building. I really do hate when that happens, though. Well, you'd be like, because then I'd be like, I could have kept my donut and water inside and ate my shit and been like, y'all going to be mad anyway. Right. I hate that shit. When I do something nice and people be like, this is really an insult if you think about it. I'm like, the fuck it is? Then give me my money back. Put them donuts down. Put them back over the fence. Shit. I'll be insulting myself then inside with this Krispy Kreme. But yeah, it's just funny because, you know, they have progressives inside of the DNC. Mm-hmm. According to Turner, the incident remains unresolved. The DNC chair Tom Perez would be wise to call her and apologize, she said, quickly recalling his weakness with progressives in the tight chair race earlier this year against Ellison, now serving as DNC deputy chair. Yeah, Ellison's deputy chair, Perez is chair, and I know Perez was, I think, endorsed by Obama or something for the chair, or maybe it's Hillary.
And my thing, if I'm not mistaken, don't they say they do this often? Like if they're doing something, they'll hand out like.
No.
Oh, okay.
This was a goodwill measure.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to make peace. Here's what's funny though, and this is like the Colin Carter to Bernie Crat. Nigga, y'all lost. You was weak with progressives, and you barely won the chair. Yeah, but I won. So you actually don't have the leverage you say you have. This whole like, well, next time we gonna really be mad. Nigga, you don't fuck with me now. You didn't buy into this. How the fuck you gonna hurt me? Like, you have to have some leverage. And that's why people keep being like, we don't want to appease y'all. Y'all don't build no coalitions to even hurt anyone. Mm-mm. You have to build some sort of goodwill before you can take it away. If all you got to do is drag me every time you come up, nigga, I don't give a fuck about you then. Keep dragging. It's such a stupid ass. Anyway, such a dumb tactic. It's so short-sighted. I just wish they would smarten up and make smarter inroads. Because it's one thing to pull the rug from under somebody where they thought you was fucking with them and you'd be like, nope, you better do what I say or I'm going to pull the rug from under you. It's another to be like, I didn't fuck with you then and I'll never fuck with your ass. Like,
okay
then, I'm still winning. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm winning and you're not. You keep coming up second place talking about some, y'all need to do what I tell you to do. Nigga, you in second. You think Usain Bolt ever turn around and be like, well, Michael Johnson said, nigga, you in second. Like, I'm winning. I'll take your advice when you come in first. That's how it always gonna be. Sanders allies view any push to diminish Turner as one designed to undercut Sanders. The primary reason Sanders struggled with black and Latino voters in 2016 Democratic primary to win the nomination, if he opts to run in 2020, he will need to expand his base of support. In Turner, his allies see a powerful black female figure whose prominence showcases his broader appeal. You want to know what's funny? White people see that right now. They need black people to see that. Maybe he's gonna try to run her as VP. Maybe that could work. I don't know. I feel like if he really want to win, they gotta flip that ticket. It's gotta be her 2020. Maybe he can be VP or something, but it can't be it won't be him. Too many bridges have been burned between him and black people and women and all this shit. They would like to classify everyone as a Bernie bro, as a white guy and an angry white man, DeMauro said. I think
all the average on Twitter look like.
Yeah, that's what's funny is that it's that not all shit. Y'all do have a white angry man problem. Y'all have a young angry white man problem over there. And the people that get interacted with from a lot of these angry ass white people come away feeling like that's representative of y'all's brand. What y'all gonna do to fix that?
Cause they're the loudest.
Cause just getting mad at other people for not recognizing that y'all over there ain't a reason. What I think that BuzzFeed story indicates, Nina's affecting this as a leader, DeMauro said. She's a leader, a movement leader, are always under attack, especially black movement leaders. So the narrative is to try and make them look unhinged and balanced, is to try to make anyone who speaks truth to power look unstable. Which is funny because much of the critique y'all have on is of a black leader that y'all tried to make look. Maybe I'm tripping.
I don't know. You might be.
I don't know. A lot of y'all claim to the throne is that, you know, Obama was an inept, weak black leader. So, just saying. And then you're also coming for Kamala Harris, who is currently a black leader that y'all are trying to make them look corrupt and unhinged and imbalanced. Anyway, and both the backlash over Sanders' allies' criticism of Harrison DNC incident, Turner says she saw the system, Democratic donors, Hillary Clinton aligned operatives in particular, really trying to continue to try and to drive a wedge between progressive people of color and progressive whites. Okay, that's what it is. Is Hillary Clinton making it? She making it happen? It's not. It's nothing over there that's making black people apprehensive. We just. Mm-mm. Totally programmed by Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
That's what it is, dog.
We can't think for ourselves.
Mm-mm.
It's that type of monolithic approach to, you know, nope, just not, I'm gonna fall for it. They're using identity politics as a weapon, she said, by criticizing black Democrats such as Harris, Booker, or former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Sanders supporters are labeled as racist and the sexist, but they don't say the same thing when their side comes out and attacks somebody like me. That failure to defend her against racist attacks stings Turner, adding that she's personally been called Bernie's Omarosa and Bernie's Aunt Jemima. To be called that and not have an outcry from the Tone police is hypocrisy. First of all, that is fucked up.
Yes, that is fucked up.
If people are doing that, that is fucked up.
Yes.
But let me tell you part two of this shit, though. You sound like a goddamn Republican when you say that. The Tone police didn't come when they said something about me. But how can you decry identity politics and then at the same time be like, why ain't y'all protecting me for being a black woman? Pick a side, dog. But you know what, dog? Like I said, you should probably be running this shit over Bernie. So, you know, if you feel like it's a double standard, you should probably be the one in charge.
But you'll never be in charge.
And let's see what y'all's white supporters over there really think. Let's find out. Feel like y'all afraid to find out what they really think. Feel like that's what this whole post-election Bernie Sanders unity shit has been about. They really are afraid to find out what the white people who fuck with Bernie Sanders truly think. If he were to come out and be like, actually, I have a very progressive racial agenda too. I feel like y'all think we're better off trying to get white voters, white working class voters, which is also identity politics. White is a race. Working class is a class. Y'all are more worried about their coveted feelings and their votes than other people, and we sense that, and that's why we don't fuck with y'all. So y'all gotta change or something. I don't know. But yeah, I would just like to double down. If people are calling her Bernie's Omarosa or Aunt Jemima, they racist and they wrong and they shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
That's fucked up. And if I see it, I'll tell people they fucked up. That shouldn't do that. You know, just because you black and on the left and people disagree with you doesn't mean they should be able to, you know, call you out your name over that shit.
Correct.
That's whack. Anyway, Sanders hasn't really said anything about this divide, which is interesting because he's supposed to be this really woke white dude that's a unifying figure, and I don't see it. All right, we've talked about this shit a long time. Nothing we've said is funny. I will try to move into some funny shit. Oh man, I'm sorry, man. This is what happens when I get to thinking about serious shit, man. I'll try to move into some funny shit, and we'll see what we can do. No fucking with black people today.
White people news.
Oh yeah, we could do some white people news. I feel like we could all go for some white people news, yeah, right about
everybody
now. Everybody's got 100. You know, Karen brings up a good point. We do some white people news. We'll get some positivity going here, guys. This
yeah,
is,
my mood needs to be changed.
It's a frustrating show, but I feel like a lot of black people are probably frustrated. And I hope that we at least touched on some things people are thinking about, or maybe even gave some voices to people out there, or at least a perspective. Because I know people are still on that, why don't y'all love Bernie shit?
You are watching Beauty Vault.
And that, now y'all know.
Right, that and that's so funny. People want to hear what we got to say about it too. So it's, you know, we're not gonna run from it.
True. Some people only tune in when some fucked up shit happened to black people. All right, is it showing on my screen?
Not yet.
Son of a gun.
Now, do I need to refresh?
No. It's probably my computer. Give me a second. Oh, yep. Something went wrong. We encountered an error. Give me a second. I'm try this again. Share my screen. And we'll get into some calming white people news. I'm going to skip that, Charles, man.
Oh, no, we're not doing that. We talked about him today. No.
Get into some white people news.
Yeah, let's get on it.
Wish I had poured me a glass of wine.
I know. If we still got time, I'm going to get you some real quick.
You know what? I will take some wine, Karen.
Okay.
If you would like to pour a glass for your boy. Plus, it looks like I might have to refresh because this shit is not showing up on my screen. Huh. Yep, okay. Maybe I'll play a clip till it comes up on my screen. Give me a second, guys. See if I can refresh or something. Oh no, I see it. Okay.
Don't Alfred, do you have any booty sweats?
Chugging on some of Alpha's ass water, that'll bring him around, it's a cure all. Man, what you coming out and movies for anyway? Do you need another revenue stream?
For your information, my revenue stream currently generates $2 million a year in charitable contributions for my community.
Hot dang.
And why am I in this movie? Maybe I just knew I had to represent. Because they had one good part in here for a black man, they gave it to Crocodile Dundee.
Pump your brakes, kid. That man's a national treasure.
I just wanted to throw another shrimp on you, Bobby.
That shit ain't funny.
Hey, fellas, it's hot. We're tired. It stinks.
I'm fucking with you, Kangaroo Jeff. I'm sorry a dingo ate your baby.
You know that's the true story. Lady lost a kid. You about to cross some fucking line.
Guys, relax.
You know what? Fuck that, man. I'm sick of this koala hugging nigga. Tell him he's...
For 400 years, that word has kept us down.
What the fuck?
Took a whole lot of time just to get up that hill. Now we up in the big leagues. Kid, not turn it back. Long as it lives, it's you and me, baby.
That's the theme song for the Jeffersons. You really need help.
And just because the theme song don't make it not true.
That's my shit. Karen is actually crushing the grapes with a freak, so that's what's taking so long. Guys, she'll be back in a few minutes. Oh, she back. All right.
Talking smack about me?
Nope. I heard him telling the audience it was taking a while.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He talking smack about me, y'all, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Don't y'all tell her in the chat. Yeah, all right,
you know, woman, just being a woman, you know how they be all slow and shit.
All right, here's the today's math, everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I know he's gonna play this.
This motherfucker got a tambourine, one of those like bongo type drums.
They done up
and
the
he definitely
game.
Said the nigga part of "She Ain't Messing with No Broke Niggas." We got cheese too, just crackers. It's okay. No. Don't get it. Don't worry about it. I just peeped that he censored himself on fuck. Like, he didn't say she used to fuck with Usher. He said she meant to oh with Usher. But you say nigga. What the fuck, white man? I mean, what the oh, white man? I want to know, am I supposed to be more insulted by the affront to Kanye West or the more insulted by the affront to Ray Charles. I can't tell. It's hard to pick. They switched to Broke But Broke on the second time. Okay, anyway, people ask, why do I play this? It's for the revolution, y'all. Okay,
y'all need to know this out there.
When they drive up on you at the and you at the anti-racism march, you're gonna be glad I prepared you.
You're gonna hear fight. This in the background, you're gonna know it's time to run.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what they be playing on their side of the fence.
You know they do.
Billions of Randy super fleas with giant penises are set to plague homes as a result of Britain's soggy summer.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm. Fleas gonna be fucking. Those must be them black fleas. BB fleas.
Giant penises. The penis is big enough you can see it. I mean, it's a goddamn flea.
Them BB fleas, Karen.
BB fleas be lit.
A plague of billions of super fleas with giant penises is set to invade the homes thanks to Britain's soggy summer. Sorry to say, the August damp weather so soon after a hot spring has created the ideal breeding condition for the pests, including a mutation far bigger than normal fleas. The Randy super males are said to pack a penis 2.5 times the length of their entire body.
Good God.
Wow. Welcome to the club, guys. The length of their entire body, the largest genital relative to size on any bug on earth. Fed up with chilly, wet summer days, the insects are now desperate to hop indoors to feast on any flesh they can find. Nigel Benz, a pest controller's basis prompts, said the activity and behavior of fleas is often very much dependent on the climate. Mild temperatures during winter means that fewer than usual will have been killed off, and as they thrive in a warm and humid environment, they'll likely be present in greater numbers than usual for the next few weeks.
Can you spray for them? Can you put a flea collar on yourself? I don't understand this.
Well, if they black fleas, you just got to put a white tick out there, and then they'll just chop off the revolution and start.
They'll start getting real jobs and shit.
Start hating on them, the fleas. That's of their own kind. The population of fleas seems to continue to grow rapidly in recent years, but the risk of an infestation could be bigger than ever this summer. The critters are often carried into homes on the fur of cats and dogs, especially if they had contact with rodents, foxes, or rabbits. Mr. Ben said scratching is often the first sign of possible infestation. He added, bite marks are usually around the ankles or legs, often leave small red dots that are itchy, and if you do have fleas in your home, you can even see them jumping on your carpet or your furniture.
Holy shit!
They thrive on the fur of pets, but will soon hop on the sofas, bedding, carpet, rugs, and breed at alarming rates. The female can lay up to 50 eggs a day.
Woo!
They hatch in a few days. They can survive for several months, so the population soon explodes. The RSPCA says that a flea can live between 14 days up to 1 year, with the female laying up to 50 eggs a day. Although they can survive without a host for many months, the British Pest Control Association recommends regularly treating pests with flea treatment, removing the infested bedding, and regularly treating walls and floors to prevent pests returning. Jesus. Be careful out there in Britain.
Oh, y'all be safe out there. We know we got some listeners out there. Y'all be safe.
Them big dick fleas gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if we dance with your dogs?
Mm-hmm. And you gonna open up your door and be like, wait till you see my dick. Wait till you see my dick, hey chick. You'll be like, what the fuck?
Wait till you see some ticks.
I know.
I'm gonna suck the puppet up like wham wham.
I know it's gonna come in there with them famous gray jogging pants. Stick all to the side, that print.
The fleece gonna have that print. You better watch out.
They ain't gonna have no draws on. Yes. You're gonna be sleeping in the middle of the night, be like, what the fuck is it? Why is it my cat's having a party in here?
The men in Britain gonna be like, you need to get these fleas out of our house. And the women gonna be like, I don't know, they might can stay.
I know, right?
Shit, I didn't know they were swinging like that.
Man, I know, right?
Swinging all that flea pipe.
Yeah, I know. Just saying. Close mouth, don't get paid. Is them Jordans you got on?
We need to make our way to the flea came in with a chain.
What? Gold teeth? What's happening here?
Man and wife, dead mouse, marries his girlfriend Kelly Grill Fedoni, but doesn't wear his mask on the big day. Oh, the dude that's like a ain't like a DJ or something.
Oh, so he's one of the DJ dudes that wear like the, well, not the Mickey Mouse, but the most famous ones, the one with the Mickey Mouse head.
That is him.
Oh, I didn't know what the hell this dude looked like. All I know,
nobody did,
is he have his Mickey Mouse head, and she was like, well, bitch, I married you, keep the head on. Don't nobody know what you really like. What are strobe lights? Because that's all I see is like strobe, and these dudes get paid like that. These dudes make millions of dollars and travel the world in front of a bunch of people at these rave parties. Who knows what's happening in the parties, but you know, all they hear is doop 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 doop. That's all you hear. And he shared
some snaps on the big day on Instagram opting against wearing his iconic mask. Mr. and Miss Grill, he proudly catching a shot of himself, corona in one hand, his stunning bride in another. The 36-year-old, whose real name is Joel Thomas Zimmerman, oh, I see why he go by Dead Mouse, also shared a picture of his four groomsmen looking dapper in silver slacks and ties. All the best men, calm before the storm, he wrote. His 2.3 million followers also got to see a final glimpse of his fiance before she became his wife. Oh, those is people. Oh, you only hang out with white people. Oh. So before I go, here's the last shot of a non-married Grill, he wrote, off of her smiling prettily as she sat for makeup. Here we go. Earlier in the day, the Canadian electronic music producer gave a glimpse into the somewhat non-traditional ceremony. Everything is fine. He captured a shot of smoke billowing out of equipment as engineers set up at a pool below. Damn. This nigga had flames and shit coming up. Ooh.
They make a lot of money. I bet you probably did a show afterwards.
Then he showed the one with the fire coming out of the equipment and
good,
said,
good God.
Everything's still fine, he joked in a second shot showing the 30-foot high pillars of flame spectacularly bursting through the pyrotechnic gear. In January last year, the ghost and stuff.
That's the head.
Yeah, that's it. For all y'all that are listening to this audio the next day or whatever, it's a picture of Dead Mouse with the helmet on.
My bad, y'all. That's why, because I'm just looking at the thing going, that's the head.
He joked in a second shot showing 30. Oh, wait. In January last year, Ghost and Stuff hitmaker revealed he had popped a question to the realtor while vacationing in the Maldives. He is previously engaged to tattoo artist Kat Von D from December 12th to June 2013. Well, you know what? Good for you, Dead Mouse.
I will go by Dead Mouse too. You would never hear my first name, but I'm Mr. and Mrs. Dead Mouse.
I'm surprised they didn't both get married in helmets. That would have been cool.
I would, you know, if I would have, I'd gone by, but if that's what you know about, you'd never see my face. I'd have been like them other two dudes who did that song with Pharrell. You don't know what the hell them niggas look like.
That's true. Daft Punk.
Yeah, they was like, nah, we will not take the mystique away.
Heidi Montag Pratt reveals bump in lingerie maternity shoot as she says she thought she and husband Spencer would be Kardashian rich.
That got the shock of their lives, didn't they?
Heidi Montag has bared her body and soul for a new magazine feature. The pregnant reality star, 30, showed off her baby bump in a maternity photo shoot for the fullest. She and her husband Spencer Pratt, 33, are expecting their first child together, a boy, later this year. She ain't giving off that Beyonce glow, Karen.
It's something about the glow. And my thing, too, is that it's just something about it. And how can I say this? no matter how she looks,
mm-hmm.
you're just not going to get the same critique. And I think the thing that kind of put Beyonce's and Venus up, there's so many people critiqued and were just like, y'all ain't shit. And, mm-hmm. and you know, nah, these women feel comfortable. You don't challenge their motherhood. You don't make them feel out of place. You know, you don't make them feel uncomfortable being a mom. So the mystique just ain't the same. Something about that brown chocolate skin that make them mad.
Well, this isn't fucking with black people. This is white people news. So mm-hmm. I don't even know how Beyonce came up in this.
Oh, because she got them flowers. Them, I don't know, them twigs.
Those are like weeds. I don't think those are flowers.
Yeah, twigs that she holding up.
Listen, this mm-hmm. is why white people don't be bothered, Karen, okay? They're not going to talk about motherhood and how easy she makes it look and why her body goals make them feel insecure. That won't come up in this article, Karen.
Oh, no.
Because this is beautiful white people news, Karen. Okay? You're ruining it with your wokeness and your double standards and all your... This not what y'all said for Serena and Beyonce. Look, we know. But that's not the segment we doing. We doing the let's just not be stressed out. We done talked about stressful shit for 2.5 hours. People need a break, Karen. Okay? It's time for woke. It's time for white. It's time for white.
Okay, I will turn that side of me off.
Thank you. Just for a little bit. The pink sleeveless robe also adorns the mom-to-be's 5'2" in the body, 2-inch body. The body language singer, she sang too, opened up.
What she sang?
I had no idea.
Me either. I guess, can we go find out what it is?
Oh, then? Lord. Let me see.
We're gonna be white. Let's be all white. She sang, what does she sing?
More work for me. Let me see if I can search this up.
I mean, it's gonna be good and terrible, so let's go find out.
Oh, Jesus. I know it's gonna be horrible. I thought she was a reality star that... Ain't she a reality star or something?
Yeah, she's TV. Ain't this a 90210 lady? Or that's another lady? I won't say she did not. Oh,
she married to Sprint. She married to Spencer Pratt
from the Hills.
From the Hill, right. Yeah.
Okay.
What's her name again? Heidi Montag.
Yeah.
Oh, it's way down here. Spotify got body language listed. If you look up body language on Spotify, it lists about 50 songs before you get to hers. Everybody done did one of these, but not her. And now, your starting lineup,
yes,
for the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes. Number 3, 6'5", graduated from North Carolina State University.
Come on, Hornets, make some noise.
And Panthers fans, are you ready for some football?
Oh, Jesus. That sounds like a white strip club anthem.
Yes, they stumping hard in them high heels.
I know that single came with some Axe body spray.
You know it did.
And a pair of khakis. The body language singer opens up about her rise to fame on MTV's The Hills and how their brand did not translate into the age of social media.
No, it did, baby.
It was such a different time where tabloid social media wasn't even out yet. The recession hadn't happened. It was like a whole turning point in that world. We thought we'd be Kardashian rich and famous at this point because we were that before they were, and looking at where they are now, it makes sense why we kind of thought that. She continued on her waning popularity after The Hills ended. Though The Hills launched in 2006, 1 year before Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it was only 1 year difference? Oh, nigga, y'all just not that interesting. Montag blames infighting between the cast and their lack of endurance against the Kardashian brand.
Y'all having a sex tape leak?
Listen, let me tell you where you fucked up, Heidi. You gotta drop that zero and get with a Negro. Cause the whole appeal of the Kardashians is that they cuckold in America.
Right.
They keep fucking with them black men and they don't have to.
Right. And the people don't understand, so they keep watching the train wreck.
They wouldn't even be famous if they only fuck with white people. Nobody would care.
Nobody.
It's the biggest third rail in America that we can't talk about is interracial sex. It's the number one search on all the porn sites and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
Yeah, any porn site you go to, it's like the number one top thing on. It'd be like, and it's if you want it or not. They're like, look, this is what you're gonna get in your face.
That entire fucking the number one porn site right now is blacked.com. It's black dudes sleeping with white women. Come on, man. That's what y'all did wrong. Y'all wouldn't fuck them niggas. And you know what? That's just a cost y'all had to pay. Cause I know you probably like, I still wouldn't do it. So I get it.
Yeah, that's the cost you have to pay. They even have, cartoons that, like if you like, it's not hentai, but it's like American made cartoons with like basically black dudes fucking white women. So if you're not even to do that, no ma'am.
Yeah, that's all. That's, they found a way to make it into a classy reality show, quote unquote. But nigga, that's all. It's so simple. Sometimes I get angry just at how simple it is. It's not complicated. Mm-mm. They fuck black people. The end.
Yep, the end, baby.
It's funny because it's not even like a type of black. It's just any famous black dude can go get fucked over there and be famous. Anyway, we didn't have co-stars that stuck together. Everyone secretly didn't like each other. Everyone was fighting. She famously feuded with Hill star Lauren Conrad over her relationship with her now husband Pratt. Other cast members, Audrina Partridge and Whitney Port, have also tangled up in the drama and their co-stars, with their co-stars on the screen and behind the scenes. Conrad left the program in 2009 and her Laguna Beach enemy, Christina Cavallari, took over for one season of the MTV program before it was canceled in 2010. Heidi Ponders in the magazine.
It's been 7 years ago, dawg. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you have a family that sticks together, it's different. The Kardashians are a huge cast that has each other's backs. If we would have branded together, who knows what we would all be.
You mean a huge cat, just the Kardashians family? Like,
that's what she's saying.
Oh, okay. Oh, she was saying we just stuck together like them.
Yeah, as a TV show, they are cast. Okay. But they are also true. Family, so they stick together.
Ah, okay, I get her now. Yes, I agree, ma'am.
After the Hills went on air, Montag and Pratt mostly made headlines for being broke. After their lavish spending sprees caught up with them in the $1 million they put in the record of Heidi's debut album, right. Superficial.
And it's been a joke, because that's kind of been the running joke with them.
The couple, dubbed Spidey by the press, have made appearances on many reality television shows since, including I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Famous Food, Celebrity Big Brother, The Mother-Daughter Experiment, and Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars. They announced they were expected in May of this year. Well, good for y'all, man. Mm-hmm. Good for y'all. Oprah Winfrey introduces her own line of food called, oh, that's good.
Make your money. Mm-hmm. Make your money. Because every time we pass the grocery store, you see a magazine sitting up there all front. And every time Oprah doing something spectacular on the front.
Mm-hmm. Get your money, boo.
I'm here for it. Oh, they're gonna buy it up. Oprah was like, yeah, I ain't got the Oprah show no more, but what I am gonna do is always make some money.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart.
Yep. It's called Oh That's Good. It's four refrigerated side dishes and four refrigerated soups, all with a healthy twist. From the cauliflower mashed potatoes to the baked potato soup, Winfrey is excited to introduce a variety of dishes that can cater to the masses, even those who typically wouldn't have access to these options. They mentioned the idea of making nutritious food accessible to a lot of communities that do not have that option. Winfrey told People magazine, and that's what intrigued me. The soups will retail at $4.99 each and the sides at $4.49 each. So get ready to eat some old that's good. Not to be confused with the shaving products produced by Brian Pumper called Oh and the Shave. Okay.
Those are not the same.
Oh and the Shave razor brand razors.
Mm-hmm. Oh and the Shave shaving cream.
That'd be a good commercial.
Oh, I'll be here for it.
They might be able to rival Bevel.
Come on.
Bubble for days. Check out her legs.
Mm-hmm.
Socialite daughter 21 of Manhattan Ballet power couple arrested for stealing more than $1,000 is she's caught on surveillance camera wearing all black with her accomplice near site of burglary in affluent main town. That's a long title.
Yes, that is.
The daughter of a Manhattan Ballet power couple, that's so white, has been arrested for a theft after she was caught on surveillance camera wearing all black with her accomplice near the site of one of a string of burglaries in an affluent main town. Talisha Martins, 21, and conspirator Jacob Flanagan, 20, are accused of breaking into three local businesses in Camden, Maine between July 30th and 31st, stealing more than $1,000. Martins is the daughter of former New York City Ballet principal dancer Darcy Kistler and the company's current ballet master in chief, Peter Martins, I'm sorry.
So that means you got money. Why are you stealing $1,000, baby?
Probably drugs.
Right.
She was arrested Thursday and charged with burglary and felony theft after authorities reviewed surveillance footage from the street near one of the burglaries, which revealed Martins and Flanagan both dressed in dark clothes walking nearby. Beautiful mugshot. Martins and Flanagan, who both live in Manhattan, stole from Smoothie Shack, Francine Bistro, and Camden Cone.
Not the bistro, the smoothie shack. That's hilarious.
Camden Police Department Detective Kurt Andrick said drugs and alcohol were a factor in the burglaries but could not elaborate.
See, you right.
Drugs and alcohol. In June, Martins was arrested at an apartment on West End Avenue in Manhattan after she was caught with crack cocaine, heroin, and hypodermic needle.
Woo!
That heroin fucking these little white babies up.
I clear. That's why they pushing to change the laws.
These poor sweet white angels. So delicate.
Next thing, having them go to jail forever and destroying families.
Next thing you know, they driving over people in a march.
Come on.
Camden Cone cashier Nick Greer was the first employee in after the robbery. I saw that the window was taken apart and that looked odd, so I called the owner and asked if that was normal. She said no. Then I opened the front door and I saw that the register was not there, and I had to call the owner again. She was not happy.
I know she wasn't. Her little bistro standing on the mic. She's beautiful in that picture.
Greer says that Flanagan summered in Camden for his whole life, but he had never seen Martins before. It's kind of funny because it doesn't sound like she needs to be stealing anything, he said. Investigators caught Martins and Flanagan after receiving an anonymous tip and reviewing surveillance footage, which shows them walking down the street in dark clothing near one of the businesses on the second night of the burglaries.
Anonymous tip. Either one of them called on each other or one of their friends that was in on it.
Mm-hmm. Probably parents. The Texas brought the two.
Right, it was like, we just calling you to let you know you can go arrest our daughter. Don't tell her it was us.
She on that smack. We need to get her locked up.
I know.
She won't go to rehab.
I know. They'll be like, they're telling right now, we don't need the reward.
Detectives brought the two in for questioning on Thursday, and they were arrested shortly after. Martins was charged with burglary and felony theft and was released later that day after posting $1,500 bail, which means you had enough money in the first place. Flanagan was charged with 3 counts of burglary, 3 counts of felony theft, and criminal trespass, and he was bailed out Friday afternoon after posting $1,500 bail. According to the criminal complaint on her June arrest, officers were called to the apartment around 8 p.m. for possible overdose. Inside, they found needles on the bathroom floor, bathroom sink, kitchen counter, and living room floor. They also found glass vials containing crack cocaine residue and 2 packages of rolling papers containing heroin residue near the bathroom sink. Yeah, sound like they some addicts, and even though she's rich, she on that heroin, and that heroin fucking these white people up right now.
Right, and it might be something with somebody brought up in there. Her parents may have cut her off, because mm-hmm. Like, look, we're not supplying, you getting high, we're not funding that no more.
Yeah, because these white people like ODing and dying and shit.
Literally, it is like an epidemic, you know, and it's one of the things where you don't want nobody to die, but you just don't want nobody to die, I'm saying that.
There's a picture she took with Natalie Portman back in 2012.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Before she was on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She on that shit now, Karen. Robbing the bistros and the cone shop.
I know. They're like, what the fuck we got to do with your drug problem?
That's funny, because they robbed the rich people. They robbed rich people shit still.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't rob... they didn't rob no broke people's shit.
They was like, because they know we ain't got no business over here. We might get beat up.
I'm going to rob Francine's Bistro. They've got to have money in there.
Right. You ain't trying to rob a trap house. You might get your ass whooped.
DeMario Jackson back in the news.
Okay.
DeMario Jackson is from The Black Lorette. He was the one that had a girlfriend.
Got kicked that off. Dude. I was like, DeMario then sounds familiar.
He was accused of possible sexual assault. Got in that scandal.
Right.
Well, now he's wearing a shirt out in L.A. and it says, show the tape. Continuing his war words with B.I. Bachelor in Paradise co-star Karine Olympios. He said that he feels vindicated at the footage of he and Karine Olympios' pool romp was featured in the trailer for The Bachelor in Paradise. Wow, they really are putting this on TV. But after Karine called his claims false and misleading, it seems DeMario Jackson has no intention of letting the matter drop, as he stepped out wearing a statement shirt that said, show the tape. Dog, you were accused of rape. Now, let's say you're right and you were falsely accused. Are you supposed to be touchdown dancing on this though? Is that best? Is that good form?
No.
The show even showing it, it seems to be bad form.
Right.
Even if the alleged incident is that y'all both were too drunk and the production company probably should have stopped it, you're not coming out looking like you're clean on this.
Nope.
Just tuck your head, shut the fuck up, wait for it to pass over, and let it go. This is stupid. The 30-year-old was having a night out at the Donahue Room in Los Angeles when he wore the shirt, on the same day that Olympios blasted his recent comments. Olympios made the statement on Us Weekly through her rep on Friday, stating, as DeMario is well aware, that footage that was in the promo was not of the encounter that caused the production to be shut down. The encounter that caused the production to be shut down took place much later in the day and was in a hot tub and not a pool. Karina's never leveled any accusations at DeMario. Yeah, you know, this is another thing too, man, and I hate to say this because we are in the white people news section. Sorry. This is what happened when people start supporting him on some racism shit and not just on some, like, whether he did it or not.
Right.
Because now he got his head pumped up thinking, like, he representing for black people and they tried to Emmett Till me and all this shit. And it's like, or y'all were too drunk and they show should have intervened. No one ever, not even the quote-unquote victim here, ever accused him of violating anything. The whole lawsuit was the show should have intervened and it shouldn't be this way. He was too drunk. I was too drunk. What the fuck kind of irresponsible shit is this to put us on in that situation or put us on TV? You can debate that shit all you want. But then when so many people were like, see, this is what white women do to people, I was like, okay, so the dude turns out to be some kind of asshole or complicit, then what? Because the right thing to do, in my opinion, is even if it's not, even if you're well, completely exonerated, why would you want them to show the tape when someone's saying that this situation traumatized them?
Come on.
What's the point?
It makes you look like a dick.
It just, right. This isn't about race for me right now. It's just, you look stupid. You look like a dick. Olympios was responding after DeMario told Entertainment Tonight shortly after Bachelor in Paradise trailer aired, I'm glad footage of that day is being shown. This is a victory for all men who have been falsely accused. The footage shown in the ABC preview appears to show the duo getting close in the pool as another contestant explains they're only 30 minutes into paradise. Keep in mind also, this runs to that defense of if a woman likes you at any point in the day or night or whatever, that it's impossible to sexually assault them. Hey, look, earlier in the day she was smiling, holding my hand, so I mean, right? I'm obviously innocent. Just this is so irresponsible. They shouldn't even be putting this on TV.
Right.
The footage shown in the ABC preview appears to show the duo getting close. Okay. Warner Brothers has confirmed previously that the footage of the drunken encounter will not be shown on the show. Filming was halted earlier in June after alleged sexual contact between Corinne and DeMario after a day of drinking. According to witnesses, a sloppy sexual encounter took place. Afterwards, concerns were raised by others who were there that Corinne was too drunk to have given consent. Like I said, she never accused him of anything. She claimed she did not remember the incident and had to be filled in on it the following day. After being told what had happened, the 24-year-old raised her own fears that she had been assaulted. Everyone was sent back to the U.S. and filming was halted while producers investigated whether or not any wrongdoing had taken place. In statements released at the time, DeMario claimed his character had been assassinated while Karina says that she was a victim. The subsequent sexual misconduct probe by Warner Brothers ultimately found there was no wrongdoing by either of them in the incident that sparked the scandal. Yeah, it wasn't a criminal investigation. It was a probe done by Warner Brothers. What did you think they would say?
They were looking into their own thing, right?
They would say, we've invested $1 million in filming this shit. Yes, it's fine. Everything's cool. Go back to filming, everyone. Filming on the dating reality series resumed in Mexico with extra precautions put in place by producers. The show will return on a gripping two-night season premiere next week, August 14th to the 15th. Let's see what else is happening. Chip Gaines responds to divorce rumors with three little words. You guys know Chip Gaines. No? Okay, I don't either. Chip Gaines.
Okay. I'm about to say, I'm about supposed to. You know, I'm supposed to know a lot of these people. I'm like, who the fuck is this?
But Chip Gaines wants you to know his relationship is rock solid. The Fixer Upper host responded last week to a tweet from a fan who lamented reports that Gaines and his wife, Joanna Gaines, were split up. I'm so sick of these stories.
I know who this is. This is a show just at HGTV. A dude and his wife go around and they like take old houses and they fix them up. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very popular. Sometimes you go and be on a fucking 15-hour marathon. Y'all be like, y'all got anything else happening here?
What's it called?
Fixer Upper. That's the name of the show.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like gaining housing or something, you know.
No, it's on HGTV.
Playing them games.
Somebody says in Waco, probably Waco, Texas.
Well, the Fixer Upper host responded to a tweet from a fan. Okay, my bad. I missed that. I read it myself and missed it. He said, won't ever happen. You can take that to the bank. Hashtag love of my life. Neither tweet mentioned specific reports of an impending breakup. The Gaineses, who have been married for 14 years and have 4 kids, have both said their marriage takes work, but it's worth it. Joe and I both made commitment pretty early on. The two of us are the most important variable. Chip Gaines said in an interview with People, if we can figure out how to be right as a couple, then obviously we have a lot better opportunity to be right for our kids. He told a crowd in February that creating boundaries and sharing each other's strengths is key. The pair's relationship gets stronger the more time they spend together, Joanna wrote in the duo's 2016 book. We seem to give each other energy. We function better together than we do apart, and I don't think either one of us has ever felt the urge to say, I need a break from you. Don't get me wrong, we certainly had our share of disappointments and arguments, but we just always wanted to tackle our issues together. And they look pretty darn cute doing it. Look at them.
Yeah, I remember this couple, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for y'all, man.
Yeah, she does more of the, like, interior decorating, and he does more of, like, the demolishing of the homes.
Okay. Like, the man does outside, woman does inside.
Correct.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that, player. Mm-mm. Whatever works for you, okay?
I mean, it's a cute little show.
Mm-hmm. It is cute. Cute little show.
Sometimes they bring their kids on and stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, you know what? That's a lot of white people news.
Mm-hmm.
I feel cleansed.
I do too.
You know, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think we'll do some sore ratchetness and we'll get out of here.
Yes.
You know, I need to go grab something to eat at some point.
Me, yes, sir.
You know, let me see if I can find my sore ratchetness news.
This has been fun, y'all. I know at first it was kind of heavy, but this has been fun. I've had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
White people news will change your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, that is the wrong fucking sound effect.
Okay, we're about to play the game and nobody told me.
I'm terrible. There we go. Dead. Mm-mm-mm. I guess he just couldn't cut it. Also, Sword Ratchet is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly gift to yourself that keeps on giving.
Yes, it does.
To the nerd soul. It is the nerd chicken soup for the nerd soul.
Oh, I love it.
We went out yesterday. Karen was wearing her Loot Crate shirt.
I was. I like that Ninja Turtle shirt.
Mm-hmm. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Enter code TBGWT and you get $3 off any new subscription. And somebody said Karen looked really young in her shirt. Like a little kid because she had on Ninja Turtle shirt.
Yeah, and I had my hair all braided up. They was like, are you sure you're supposed to be drinking?
Right. Yeah, and we went out with Coco Cutie, so that was cool too.
It was wonderful seeing her.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, obviously I love having a beautiful young looking wife. There's nothing wrong with that, and I'm very proud that I was able to bag that, if you guys know what I'm saying. I think you guys all know what I mean when I talks about it, okay?
Make daddy a sandwich.
Make daddy a sandwich. I'm very happy for that, and you know, and whatnot. But the only thing is, whenever somebody starts being like, oh, you look so young, can you even drink, when they just talking about Karen, like, I'm like, so what does that mean you think about me? You think I'm trying to get a 15-year-old girl drunk?
No pissing.
At the crab rice spot. You think I'm trying to?
I know.
Come on now. Come on, man.
The lady was like, no. She was like, she had to tell her. She was like, no, baby. She come here all the time.
Yeah. I'm like, what y'all trying to do, dog? Got me out here looking like I'm some type of fucking pervert or something. Mm-mm. Yeah, girl, take one more sip. Yeah, tonight it's gonna be me and you, girl.
You ain't trying to have it no more.
Mm-hmm. Two more mimosas, please.
I know, taking me out in public and shit, stepping your game up.
Two more mimosas for her. She can only drink it with some juice in it. Ugh. Anyway, if you're on a that has nothing to do with it. What I was gonna say though is that at dinner though, Coco Cutie was talking about how she had gotten her nephew Loot Crate and used our code.
Yes.
And saved $3 off, and how he loves it. Yes. And she's like, anything you don't want in the box that don't need, you know, let me know. And they talk every month about what came in the box. It's like a good way to keep up with, you know, your niece, your nephew, your son, your daughter, yourself, even like you talk about it, your spouse, and be like, what came in the box? You know, like, you don't drink coffee, let me get that coffee mug, cuz.
Right.
You know, but I just thought it was super dope. And I hope other people sign up. Lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Code TBGWT, get $3 off. This month, they're going to have Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, and Lord of the Rings as some of the franchises in the box. And trust me, do it now rather than later. Don't miss out, because when we open up the box, I know you're going to have some envy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
An intoxicated man cuts himself with his friend's sword.
Oh, shit, wasn't even his.
Open and shut case.
Right?
Oakland County Sheriff's deputy were called out to Jeffrey Apartments 6 p.m. July 31st to find a Midland man, 36, bleeding profusely from both hands. The man said he cut himself accidentally on the sword. The man was immediately transported to Huron Valley Ambulance to Farmington Hills Beaumont Hospital. A 42-year-old man lives in an apartment, and the Milford man, 36, also told officers the man had accidentally injured himself playing with a sword. He took down off the wall. All the parties were drunk at the time. Yes, let's get drunk and play with swords. Deputies reported finding blood on the walkway to the apartment, in the vestibule, and on the vestibule walls leading to the apartment. Several swords were hanging on the wall. The deputy noted that with a pool of blood on the floor, the emergency room doctor later told officers that the artery in the Midland man's index finger had been cut, along with other cuts to his hands. Deputies reported being unable to find a sword with blood on it, and the witnesses couldn't identify the weapon involved. Also in the apartment, I think they lied to the cops. Something happened. Also in the apartment, deputies reported finding a Redford woman laying on the couch with an empty half-gallon vodka bottle sitting next to her on the couch. Deputies were unable to wake the woman. They then called Lyon Township paramedics to respond and examine the woman. The paramedics were able to wake her up. Due to her high level of intoxication, she was transported to the hospital. All right, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much. I know this was a long, tough show to get through, but I feel like we worked it out in the end.
We made it.
Had a lot of fun.
I did.
You know what? Think we're going to do this again tomorrow.
Me too.
Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.